know that you left early.
Yes.
From the Super Bowl.
Booyah, Don.
But I will tell you that Saturday night at approximately 9 p.m., I've got to tell you now, I was driving my rented car down Biscayne Boulevard.
Yes.
And this man asked me for oral sex for $40.
No! Oh, my God. Well, did you still play the game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very good.
Oh, yeah.
Good. How'd you do?
Who had what? The game of
yes,
love?
At the game, yes.
We were
both winners.
Great to be back. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Harry Shearer and all the ships in town. Hey, no. How about this?
Yes.
The Avalon doesn't serve food.
Oh.
We'll see you at the Clevelander. It's the Don and Mike show.
We'll see you there, Rudy. We got a lot of stuff to say about what happened to us Friday night and then Saturday and then Sunday. And Jesus, we're here already.
Isn't that great? Hey, are we troopers?
Hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast and nationwide. Still, via Best Wiz Bond, darling. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara right here. That's why we stood for this cotton picking day. Call it your Don and Mike show.
It's really, really good to see all of you guys.
We are still coming to you from the ultra-modern and sophisticated studios of WJFK in Washington, D.C. Jackal Ron Jaworski says hello.
Hey!
I dropped the name of Cufflinks this weekend. I'll tell you about that. And I think the gerbil's also in the house today.
Very good.
Shout out to Egypt Prostate. There's the chain of command. As I mentioned, we do the show every day via the auspices of Westwood One. You know, here it is, February 1st. I thought we were breaking our deal with them.
Hey, things move slow, you know, when you want it done right.
Well, we're still on that network. We got 62 affiliate stations and 4.5 million listeners. And for that, we are eternally grateful. Now, before I get to the boy to my left and the boy to your right, let me ask all you soccer moms out there, your Hillary Clinton haircuts, grabbing your SUVs and your minivans. Tate Jr. and Missy moving their way to the back of the room. Watch out, I'm looking out right there.
Hey, it's made up like Kiss lead singer Gene Simmons.
Right there, look, it's got that stupid Broncos hat on, like Shannon Sharp had again last night. There it is, I whipped it out, another perfectly executed opening to this big-time major market radio show.
Here.
And here he is, the man that spent the weekend in our luggage. Yes, he came to Miami with a stowaway, buddy.
Yes.
Guy Birdley. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Well, Buzz, good to see your smiling face.
Good to see your faces. Welcome back.
Sorry about the budget constraints that kept you at home.
It's CBS. Good to see all you guys.
Okay, Mike.
It really is.
You missed us?
No, he...
It's good to see all you guys, man.
He's got another...
I love you guys, man.
He's got another fabricated airline problem to tell us about.
Oh, good. Screw that. Fabricated my hiney.
Come on. Kidding.
Oh, my God.
Kidding.
Oh, my God.
That's why you should stay for the whole weekend with the rest of us and not make your early exit. Mm-hmm.
Whatever the reason, I should have. Maybe I should have. It's just good to see everybody. Good to see everybody.
Listen, let's do this chronologically.
Okay, very good.
Let's start, because, I mean, we got stuff to tell you about that happened Friday night after our Super Bowl broadcast.
That's right.
Then we'll get to that thing. And then we got the other things.
Right.
Now, we're not on live in Denver yet. It's another hour still, right?
Right. About 45, 47 minutes from now.
Okay, well,
so the city would still be burning right now.
Yeah,
right?
I want to put the call out for any rioters in Denver to call the show.
Only in America. Great way that. Well, not only in America. The soccer fans do it too, right?
Yeah, we stole this from England. Although, you got to say that the people in Denver took it to a new level last night.
Man.
Not only tearing up their city.
That's correct.
But making a giant bonfire and then jumping through the fire.
I particularly enjoyed the shot of the officer walking through casually with his super can of mace, the kind that shoots like 60 feet. And just, you know, he'd look over and there are these people. It looked to me like they were relaxing on the steps, but I guess that was the area they weren't supposed to be in.
You know what he looked like he was doing?
He gave him a shot right in the face.
You know that silly string stuff?
That's exactly what it looked like.
He looked like... You know when you're out having a good time and you go to say, hey, watch out, and you shoot that goo all over them?
Real casual-like, you know, and that stuff looked like it was mighty painful when they got hit with it.
Yeah, here it is.
Well, I guess when we are on live in Denver, less than an hour from now, we'll put the call out to anybody that was at the rioter scene last night.
Good.
Here we are, live, in control now, gentlemen. All right. I speak for everybody. Mm-hmm. When I say we're tired.
Yeah, be a long trip in.
Very tired, up very late last night, up at 4 o'clock this morning to the Cluster F that is known as getting to the Super Bowl and getting out.
Oh, yeah, unbelievable.
And time to come back, but listen, all of that behind us now in the rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Got to tell you, all the crap that happened to us,
Super Bowl weekend.
Good.
I've never seen a city quite as alive as Miami. Miami was pretty nutso with the crowds for the Super Bowl.
Party town.
Do you believe that guy was going to pay only $40 for a blowjob?
That's a bargain. This big an age, man.
And what was an NFL player doing in a white Taurus?
Yeah, you would think that he'd have a nicer rental car.
We had nicer rental cars than that.
Yeah, we really had, like, Mercury Tracers.
You'd think it would be just at least a minivan.
Low-key in it.
And minivans, you know, cost you more now. They gauge the families there because they charge you more for your minivans.
And did you know that the point that Eugene Robinson was nabbed at for asking for oral sex?
No. Huh?
Less than 2 miles from our beautiful hotel.
Oh, don't worry. I knew that.
You know how to pick them.
Sure.
Oh, God. So listen, we did a show Friday,
right?
We thought it was a good Super Bowl show. We had lots of good people on it. I was very glad that the show didn't start to unravel till the very end when we got into it with the producer from ESPN.
That was right towards the end, but it's already a good show. You know, a good show had been accomplished.
So we got done with the show, and let's see, Friday night there was something called the Commissioner's Party.
Right.
Which Rudy was nice enough to get two tickets for. Normally me and Mike go to that, but this year Bart and I went.
Excellent.
So we had some time in between the end of the show and the Commissioner's Party.
Right.
Rudy says to us, we're done with the show now.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy says to us, let's go to South Beach. Let's get something to eat at South Beach. Now, this place, first off, you know, it's Gayville, USA. If you ever saw the movie The Birdcage, this is where South Beach is.
Where they filmed it.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, there's a store that we drove past down there that's really, I swear to God, called Gaymart.
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 Gaymart. Yes, they know their clientele.
And it is the number one tourist spot in South Florida.
Yes.
And all these yahoos with their BMWs and their Porsches and their Humvees, everybody goes down to this part of Miami.
I don't think, seriously, I've been to a lot of places in the United States, but I don't think there's any place quite like South Beach for people watching to be seen and to see other people, and also to get the cruising aspect as far as people in cars that want their cars to be seen. I don't think there's any place that combines all of that in one spot, and that's what makes it unique.
But Rudy picked the one day that was the most crowded.
Of course.
The time that was the most crowded, Friday evening.
He picks his restaurant,
right.
which I'm done. That's it. That is officially
the last time.
That's the last restaurant recommendation I'm taking from Rudy Barzo.
And you know, we normally are bright enough to say, Rudy, that's okay. We'll hook up with you later. No.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy made a point of saying,
right,
the restaurant is the Avalon. And then did you notice, here's the move that he made.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy took himself,
yep,
the mouse,
uh-huh,
and the other couple from Atlanta.
Right.
They went in his car.
Uh-huh.
Then Bart and I got a ride with Matt Elliott.
Right.
You and Rob and Charlie took a cab.
Which was the smartest move, I believe.
Well, good.
Yes, absolutely. Just getting in a cab, you know, getting as far away from Rudy as possible.
No, but what that means is essentially is that since Rudy cut himself off from everybody associated with the show,
that's right,
there's no way he could be held accountable for the fact that the restaurant that he told us to meet him at
did not exist.
Does not exist. I mean, really, when you
spend 7 miles walking from one end of Ocean Boulevard and South Beach in Miami, Florida, to the other, and then back, and during the process, you ask no shortage of 17 people,
everybody
to an individual, says,
yeah, I don't know.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
Right? Although we did have one person, before we hooked up with you guys,
right,
that told us it was about 6 blocks north.
I was delighted that you guys, not delighted, but I was just happy that you guys were at the same time, simultaneously, going through the exact same thing that Rob, Charlie, and myself were going through.
Yeah, so we got to the main drag there, and I do mean drag.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Do I mean drag? People of every description were there. It wasn't only drag and only gay people. It was every type of human being known to mankind.
And just way too crowded, man. It was
very crowded.
Street performers and you know, guys with boom boxes and all this.
Cars going by. There's one band goes by with a boombox, but it wasn't a boombox. It was a guy in a band that had his door open wide and then a monitor speaker like you would see at a rock concert that was sitting inside of his van just going.
And did you see those brothers in that Lexus
limousine?
Now, it was a Lexus truck.
Right.
Okay, like like a Land Rover or something like that.
Right, new, that new four-wheel drive one that they have, that new small four-wheel drive one that they
have. Except it's not a four-wheel drive truck. It's a four-wheel drive truck limo.
Stretch limo, like a stretch like you wouldn't believe.
This thing's like 25 feet long, and all these guys are hanging out, and they're screaming at girls, "Hey, baby, show me your teeth! Show me your teeth!" And girls...
Yep.
We're like taking their shirts off,
really, accommodating him in the Lexus limo. I've never seen a limo like that.
Not me.
You know, when you're talking about going down to where we were down there, you are that's tough to make a turn in a Volkswagen Beetle, much less a stretch limousine that's 25 feet long.
So we finally get down to the spot where we think this restaurant is that Rudy told us that he's going to hook us up with.
That's
it. Listen,
right.
Of all the days, it's the most crowded day. But listen, we're with Rudy Martz. We're going to go to the Avalon in South Beach.
Sure,
he's going to take care of us. 1 hour and a half later, just dumb luck that we're going now, the group with Matt Elliott and me, and the group with Mike and Rob, we're going from different ends.
Yes.
We just happened, dumb luck, to run into each other.
Right.
And we say, hey, listen.
This is after Rob and Charlie, after we had totally quit.
Yeah.
That's when we just said, that's enough. You know that? And I'm sorry. That's all there is to it. We need to eat.
So we say, hey, look it. There's Mike and Charlie and Rob. We said, we've been up and down, going north.
Right.
2 miles, nobody's ever heard of the Avalon.
Right.
And then Mike says, well, we've been going up and down 2 miles the other way. Nobody the other way's ever heard of the Avalon either.
And I felt like with Rob and Charlie, I kind of felt like a parent. I really did. You know, not only am I legitimately older than these guys by about 10 years or so, but also, it was just like having two sons along with me. And I decided it was time for us to sit down when the boys grabbed their free ice cream and started eating before dinner. That's a sign. That's when I said, you know, before dinner, don't eat your ice cream before dinner. Okay, we'll sit down right here then. Because the boys were already eating their ice cream. Eating it. You know, they're eating ice cream.
Let me just say, that stopped Barney and his tracks also.
That's right. That's right.
The lady from Fox Sports with the big disjointed Keith Olbermann head.
It was like throwing out free ice cream.
Keith Olbermann's head on a stick was bouncing back and forth, and there was this Latin gal that was like throwing out ice cream sandwiches for free.
That's when I knew it was time to park. And then a few moments later, you know, lo and behold, the Geronimo Elliott party came by, and I was just like, hello. Of course, no sign of the margarita.
No, of course. So we decided, listen, this is another typical Rudy screw up. We sat down. We think, what the heck? We'll have some lunch on our own.
And we pulled that off, didn't we? I mean,
yeah.
We're talking about prime seating right on South Beach. Not easy to even get a table. We got everybody seated by, well, we did. You just eliminate the hostess person. That's the best way to do it.
You just sit down and you just push a couple of tables together.
That's right. And stare at a lady until she's finished with her dinner so that she will leave. Finally decide that she's going.
Oh, yeah, we did do that, didn't we?
No, but she was done. It was just she was lingering like you want to do down there. You don't want to leave.
Like we did when we were done. Yeah.
Like we did, because you want to hang. It's a great place to hang out.
So Matt Elliott's fiance, excuse me, the actress hired to play Matt Elliott's fiance.
The lovely Kristen.
Uh-huh. She decided we'd been there about a half hour. We're having some beverages and having like some breadsticks and stuff. She says, you know what? I'm going to go walk the other way. I know that Mike and Charlie, you guys said you went the other way.
Yeah, we've gone both ways.
I'm going
to... like a lot of people are.
So I'm going to go the other way and see if I can find Rudy. So she goes about a half hour.
Right.
She comes back and she says, well, I did find a place that says Avalon, but it's deserted.
And they're not serving food.
Right.
You know, he said, hey, way to go, Rudy.
Like, this is the most populated day of the year in South Florida.
Right.
Everybody that's out selling steak on a stick, everything. Hot dogs.
Guys that were literally, you know, selling puppets, you know, little Super Bowl puppets, they had a food concession.
Right.
Okay, you know, you can't imagine what place wouldn't serve food. Rudy found it.
Really? Yeah. One. So we finally got a table. We sit down, we start eating, and then about an hour later, here comes the Martzky party.
Yep.
Huh?
Hey.
The Avalon, they don't serve lunch.
We were aware of that, Rudy. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And then did you notice the insult to injury?
Yep.
He didn't even stop.
No, he decided
to stay with us.
With his other buddies and go down to the other joint.
To the Clevelander.
Which is, you know, which is also the most crowded place down there. Rudy's either going to take you to the place that, as Rob said, has two requisites. It's got to be dark and air-conditioned. And also, you know, doesn't serve food. And then he's going to move down to the most crowded place on the strip.
So, you know, rather than invite us, keep in mind now, he's the reason that we've endured this traffic and all this horrendous people stuff to get down there to where he is. Then he says, well, hey, they didn't serve lunch at the Avalon. And I'm waiting for him to say, but now we're going to go to the next exclusive place. Please come join us.
Right.
Instead he says, So we'll see you guys later.
Yeah, come on down and meet us.
And we're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's going to be happening. His work with you was finished.
Yeah, if you were really sure. So he leaves, and we're just sitting there. And by this time, we're having a good time without him.
It was just great being there. At one point, once you get a table that's a decent table and you sit down and you can experience all the life that's going by and you're comfortable and there's food in front of you, it becomes a rather pleasant experience.
So we're starting to chill out. Late afternoon, sun's starting to set there in South Florida. It's already a little dark. All of a sudden, turn around, Bart says, Dad, look, it's Dennis Rodman. Now,
cool. Bart, very cool.
Bart has been saying this to me almost the whole time that we're down there. Every time he sees a guy in a fuzzy hat, he says, Dad, look, it's Dennis Rodman. He thinks he's seeing everybody famous. I turn around and damn if it's not Dennis Rodman. Now, and without
I find it a very difficult guy to spot, too. Very, very hard to spot him. It was pretty cool because, you know,
without a large entourage. There were fans and stuff following him, but it's not like he was walking around with bodyguards and junk.
And the moment in time that I decided I liked Dennis Rodman because he was giving the people what they wanted. You know, everybody wants to see a celebrity, and there was Dennis Rodman. I don't care how much you like people, how anybody can go through that type. If you are somebody even moderately famous, to put yourself in that environment, it would have to be.
Well, you got
to
want to be noticed. He's got the Shatner complex. There's no doubt about it.
Because you're talking not only noticed, but Dennis. People clawing at him. I'm right alongside of him. He gets right next to my table. I'm like, Dennis!
But did you hear what Matt Elliott says?
What did Matt Elliott say?
We're going by, and Matt says to Bart, I know him. I'll give you an autograph. I go, wow, that's very nice. So Dennis Rodman, as he walks by the table, Matt actually touches him on the arm and goes, hey, Dennis, how about an autograph? How about, hey, it's Matt Elliott, how about an autograph? And Dennis Rodman goes, no, man. Can't do it, man.
and just
keeps going.
Which was a smart move. I don't think if he had stopped to sign anybody's autograph in that. I mean, it was tough enough to move on South Beach to start with. That would have been nuts. They would have had to call in the police.
As he's walking away, I said, Dennis, see you at the Avalon, my man. Well, that was the first celebrity sighting that we had.
And it was a good one. I mean, he was the guy down there. It was very cool to see him.
And then on Friday night,
I just wanted to say we had a wonderful discussion too that your son was involved in.
Oh, did
your
son's discussion?
You know, your son just fit in with, because, you know, I think when you're talking about Rob and Charlie and, you know, me as the father figure, you're talking about, you know, three guys, first of all, that same week. But we all have the minds of children. So we were all sitting down there, had a good half hour, 45 minute discussion on what type of cheese, if you could only have one cheese on a desert island, what cheese would you bring with you? And a very, very intelligent discussion.
Curling argument. Curling.
Yes.
Guys, let me just say, first off, thank you for sticking me with Matt Elliott, okay?
We did a little musical cheers later on, though, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Rob did, and then I...
Yeah,
then I
very kind of, late.
Yeah.
And I mean, thank you for sticking with me with him the whole way down to South Beach. So I'm in the car with him for an hour and a half. Then we get there.
Right.
We finally hook up with you guys, and at one table, it's Rob and Mike and Charles Broyhill and my son Bart. At the other table, it's me and Matt and the actors that's playing his fiance. So while I'm hearing the guffaws and the laughter and all this stuff going on at the table behind me, I'm having to sit through this with Matt Elliott.
Yeah, I think the Broncos are going to give me a tryout.
Yeah. No, I think the Browns might be interested in me. I really do.
Meanwhile, we're coming to blows over, you know, which is better, provolone or sharp cheddar. And it was mighty, mighty fun. But didn't you find as you tired of Matt's conversation and you sort of leaned into our cheese?
Did you notice how many times I turned my chair around to try to get interested in your conversation? And then I would feel a gentle tap on my leg, which kind of unnerved me because it was Matt trying to get me involved in his conversation.
You're not used to that yet.
I'll say what you will about Matt Elliott. He is. You get what you want there. I mean, he is somebody who does not change. He is just exactly like he was the first day we met the guy. He is so funny in his own regard. But I'll tell you, he does play on that thing that we always talk about. You know, when what he said to you, Buzz, right? What he said to me. And Don's right. I mean, every time he talks, there'd be, oh, okay.
And do you know when we were driving down to try to find the restaurant that didn't exist?
Yes.
He was in the front seat driving. I was in the passenger seat. And the actress playing his girlfriend and Bart were sitting in the backseat of his car, and as we would navigate through traffic, like, he would lean over and pat my leg. And he would say, okay, now we got to make a right-hand turn here. And he'd like, just pat my leg. And at one point, you know, I still got the knee brace on from my torn MCL, and he says,
Oh, yeah. Do you have to have it drained?
I said, yeah.
And he reaches over. He starts, like, touching my leg.
He's examining you.
He's going, did you have to have it drained here? I've had that done also. Yeah.
It's best to just relax in that situation.
Oh, God. He was unnerving me, man.
That is what he does. And I think he knows that, and that's why.
Yeah, he knows he gets under our skin.
Yeah, he knows it unnerves us. And, that's what men will always do, I guess.
So you guys were at the good table.
We were
at the table with Matt. We got blown off by Rudy. Then we said, screw it, let's get out of here. Because Bart and I had tickets to this commissioner's party.
Mm-hmm.
How about when we were driving away then, when I was able to switch up
right
the locale and had Rob get in the car with Matt Elliott.
Yes, it was a very deft move on your place. You actually were able to make that switch. Nobody was any the wiser, and Rob was very happy. I should point that out. I mean, almost bordering on euphoric. Rob was happy to be sitting next to Matt Elliott.
We almost busted a gut. It was Broyhill and me and Mike and Bart in a cab
right,
watching the joy, and they had a convertible, watching Rob Spiewak and Matt Elliott drive down the road together.
You ever see those, like when you see those Caribbean carnivals they have when they have the little heads on sticks that people wear? You know, the oversized...
Like Mardi Gras, yeah.
And they're dancing up and down. And what you had was this convertible with Matt Elliott and Rob Spiewak side by side with these this teeny, tiny little automobile and these huge heads.
And the big head just bouncing back and forth.
Well, it's been a long time since Matt and I had seen each other.
Oh, obviously. It was like... schoolgirls glackling away. I mean, I could hear you. We're like eight cars in back.
And I could hear you. And his poor girlfriend.
Not sitting in the back.
The third wheel.
Absolutely. Could have been a spare tire back there.
She did nap.
Absolutely.
So we split from South Beach.
Good woman, though, I should point out. Kristen, we all agreed.
Yeah.
If it is not the actress, if it turns out to be a real fiance, he's very, very fortunate.
Well... Let me just say that I went into it thinking that there was a chance that she was an actress.
Yes.
But as we went through the day, as I found out how pussy-whipped he is.
Oh, absolutely.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. She's definitely going to be his wife.
Yes. She's controlling that relationship.
Did you catch this move? We're in a cigar shop, okay?
Uh-huh.
Where they have a bunch of really great, hard-to-find cigars.
Mm-hmm.
And we're inside. Now, keep in mind, Matt Elliott's not even married yet.
Right.
And here's the move he pulls on me. This is a move like that a married guy would pull on his wife. He says, hey, Don, buddy, come here. I'm going to buy two boxes of cigars. But then what I'm going to do is put one of the boxes of cigars in your bag with the bag that you bought so that my girlfriend doesn't know I bought two boxes of cigars.
So he won't get in trouble.
Yeah, I said, okay, you know, whatever.
How did he get caught after
okay,
that?
I'll tell you. I go outside where she's sitting outside with Broyhill,
right.
And she says, oh, you got cigars. Let me see what you got.
Right.
So I said, okay. I say, well, look, I got this box and I got this box.
I got two boxes of cigars.
Well, I only bought one box, but I said, I got two boxes of cigars.
Because Matt says, Matt at 300 pounds is worried that you're going to kill him.
Right. She says, oh, that's very nice. He comes out and she says, honey, did you notice how many times they call each other honey?
Yeah, well, young love, yeah.
She said, honey, what did you get, honey? And he starts lowballing. He goes, well, I just got one box. And she goes, honey, come here, honey. Let me see, honey. Let me see. And she comes over. First thing she does, she goes right to a charge card receipt.
Oh, she checked out the receipt.
Oh. And here's the move. She goes, you bought two boxes of cigars.
Oh, man, she checked the receipt.
And then she says, where's the other box? And now Matt Elliott, a big 300-pound guy, looking down at his feet, he goes... It's in Tom's bag.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was inside when all that was happening. That's why he did that. Oh, now I know why he did what he did to me.
She ordered him. She says to him, she looks at me and she says, how could you do that? I said, what? He's a grown man.
Right.
She said, give me those cigars. Which cigars did you buy for you? So I take the box. I give her the box that he buys. Then she does this. She thrusts it at him and she says, take it back in and get your money back.
That's why when he came walking back in, he said, I have to see if I can get the receipt changes. What? Well, Kristen doesn't want me to buy the other bus. Oh, I said, man. And then, you know when you're just being nice and you want to retract what you said immediately, and I said something like that. Well, I can cover you. That's terrible. that's really, really terrible. Because I looked at his receipt and I saw how much he paid for his box as a guy, and I'm like, oh, well, I can... okay, that's bad. That's a bad. And then she came walking back in, and he was still waiting in line to exchange,
to return his box of cigars.
And I looked over at her, and I looked at him, and he had this gerb face, you know,
a long face, very sad, make his deal, has to return toy.
And I looked over at him, and I said, Kristen, look at his face. She says, and for whatever reason, it worked, because she said, if you really want him, you can keep him. I said, and, you know, without, because, you know, he wouldn't have handled that right.
Oh, of course,
you know,
not.
Because he would have said something, no, I'll reason. And that, you don't do that. You seize that. Yeah. You and I are veterans of this.
You right? Get that opportunity. You your wife it. Gives you, you yeah. This much room, you take it.
So
baby.
I did that for him. What I did was that she said, well, he can keep him if she wants. I said, isn't she great? Come on, man. Let's go. We're going right now. Put him back. She's a fantastic lady. I tell you, you got the right woman there. And he's like, kind of like half grinning, putting his cigar box back into the shopping bag.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the story. And that's when I realized it all crystallized. Hey.
Yeah, it's the real woman.
She's not an actress.
No.
You know, they're probably really going to get married.
They're going to get married. Relief to all of us, actually.
No, especially to you, bud.
Yeah, especially to me.
Of course.
Because he could make you bleed at all.
So then we went our separate ways. We got in the cab to go back to the hotel so right. Me and Bart could put on our grown-up clothes to go to this NFL commissioner's party, which I got to tell you, highly overrated.
But it's why you didn't exactly see me bursting into tears, you know, when I wasn't going to go this year. I just, you know, you've been to a few of them. Once you've been to one, you've been to all of them.
But it's one party that, listen, everybody talks about down there. Everybody wants the tickets to it. And, you know, Bart wanted to go to this thing. So then what the heck?
Tickets are the nicest thing about the party.
We'll go. Yeah, big fancy tickets.
Huge right? Tickets. Really looks like almost better than the Super Bowl tickets themselves.
Well, like big pieces of art and stuff.
Not
right?
An exclusive affair.
No, very much so. Oh, yeah. So we get there and the first guy we see, we're walking in, we hooked up with, now you're going to have to help me on this, and we spent a good amount of time with this guy.
Okay.
Not Alec Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Baldwin that's in the movie Virus.
Not Billy Baldwin.
Who is
Daniel Baldwin?
The fat Baldwin.
Oh, that's the...
No, not the fattest Baldwin. There's four of them.
Baldwin, the one that was in Biodome with Pauly Shore? He's got blondish hair?
No, this one had dark hair. Now, here's all I know.
Paul Baldwin.
It wasn't Alec Baldwin, and it wasn't the Baldwin that was in the movie The Virus, because I saw the movie The Virus this weekend.
Jeffrey Baldwin.
But it wasn't Baldwin's brother.
I went to elementary school with a Jeffrey Baldwin. But anyway, was he a good-looking guy? Ha, ha, ha.
Well, for a Baldwin, no.
So he was fat?
Mm. Doughy.
Was he big and fat?
Okay, he was.
There's some smaller Baldwins.
That one's the one's on TV. He's on Homicide, right?
That's the big fat one.
That must have been the one.
Yeah,
I saw.
That'd be him.
Okay, okay. So when we walked in the door at this commissioner's party, of course, Rudy again, nowhere to be found. Rudy said to me, "I will meet you and Bart at Tahiti, because you go into these, you go into this thing, and it's like they have food from different countries,
from the convention center,
yeah, from Greece and mm-hmm. Tahiti and Jamaica." Rudy said, "Meet you at Tahiti at 8 o'clock."
Tahiti.
So Bart and I got there early. We walked in. There we are, like, you know, the bride left at the altar,
right?
Standing there, 8 o'clock, no Rudy. Mm-hmm. 8:15. No, Rudy.
Right.
And then this guy, who was it, Stephen Baldwin?
Is he the one? If it's the guy from formerly of Homicide, it would be Daniel Baldwin.
Whoever it is, he walks up and he says, "Hey, who are you guys looking for?" And I said, "We're looking for Rudy Marsky." And he says, "Yeah, I'm looking for somebody, too. Just can't find anybody here." Mm-hmm. So we walked around.
It was Tito Baldwin.
And we ended up spending our whole evening with whichever one of the Baldwin brothers this guy is.
You spent your evening with a Baldwin.
Wow. Yeah, and we hipped him to how to, like, get out of the food line and stuff, because there was a gigantic line. It's like buffet-style food,
mm-hmm.
like where you'd have 200 people in line.
Hard to get food and drink at this place.
You know, and at one point he said, "Let's go get some food." And I said, "Well, don't wait in line." I said, look how many old people there are here. Old people in a buffet.
It's the slowest thing in the world.
They freeze up. When they get up to all those big fancy trays.
Yeah, but especially if it's the salad part, you know, where you got the, the navy beans, and then they got the green salad. It's like, what am I going to have?
I said to the Baldwin brother, I said, "Just get a plate and follow me. My son and I have got this down to a science." That we just kind of cut in line. You walk all the way up to the very front with your plate.
Right.
You cut in front of an old guy who can't make his mind up.
Right.
You go through and you get your food. This guy was the nicest guy in the world. We got done, and Bart said to me, "Dad, who was that?" And I said, "You know what?
You didn't know it was Baldwin.
I have no idea."
But he looked famous.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it could have been like Zeppo Baldwin, no, no. Who's not even in pictures.
No,
right?
He's a Baldwin that I've seen before.
He's a Baldwin that's been on TV.
He's a Baldwin that I've seen before. Maybe not on TV. How many Baldwins are there?
50. Well, I only know 4 right offhand.
Okay.
Alex, Stephen, Billy, and Daniel.
I bet it was Daniel. How would I know?
It was sounds like Daniel.
I got no idea.
Anyway,
so he was very nice. We're making our way out of this thing.
Right.
Now, like, going on 11 o'clock on Friday night. I'm butt tired. We're walking out, and here's just a little odd coinkydink. As we're making our way out, who do we see coming in 24 hours before he's going to proposition a whore?
Oh, no.
Eugene Robinson of the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh!
Right. Now,
what's he doing out anyway? Well, I guess we know.
Right, this is what we didn't know. We are walking out, and Bart says to me, Dad, that's a football player. You know, because, I mean, he's got the clothes and everything.
Right, he was by himself?
By himself.
Yeah, that's the problem.
By himself, and he came up, and I said, oh, let's go meet him. Let's go say hello to him, right? So we walk up, and I go, hey, Eugene, hi. This is my son, Bart. And he says to me, you know, I'm receiving the Bart Starr Award tomorrow.
That's right.
So we get into the whole thing about, yes, my son is named after Bart Starr because he came to see me when I'm in the hospital. He's like, oh, he's a fine young man. That's very nice. He, like, signs an autograph and everything.
Cool.
And he gives us the whole spiel about how he's getting the Bart Starr Award because he's the humanitarian of the year.
Oh, my God.
Right?
For morals and service to the community.
Oh, right?
Is really that the title of the award?
No.
Oh, God.
I swear to God, keep killing me.
Man, it was just about 24 hours later he's going to be, he's being a humanitarian, I guess.
So we get into the car, and it's like Bart and I are going, boy, we had a pretty great night. We got to spend all evening with one of the Baldwin brothers.
Right.
And I'm like saying to Bart, Eugene Robinson, that guy's playing in the Super Bowl. I said, man, look, he signed your autograph last night. Little did we know.
A few hours later.
Just the very next night.
Oh, my God.
And wouldn't you know that when we heard it, we were coming through the lobby of the hotel, and we were waiting for the elevator. You know how all the fans are, like, gathered around down there?
Yeah, a lot of gossip.
Some guys start saying, hey, yeah, yeah. Did you hear one of the Falcons got arrested tonight? Did you hear one of the Falcons got arrested? Really, really? What for? He propositioned a police officer, a prostitute. Who was it? Eugene Robinson. And Bart says, just loud as can be, hey, I got his autograph yesterday. I just thought it was a weird happenstance.
Game suffered, I believe.
Yeah.
I think he was going through a little too much to play in the big game.
And he very much, I mean, like I said, he was nice to my kid and everything, but he was laying it on sick like, yes, I'm receiving this award tomorrow.
Wow.
Oh, crazy.
I guess he got happy.
That was the problem.
Well, you want to celebrate a thing like that.
Of course. It's $40. It's pretty cheap,
I think, for a BJ.
I would think so. I would think in this day and age that the price would be a little higher.
Super Bowl weekend, especially, you know, you look like you were, you know, a big rich football player.
Isn't everything more expensive in Miami on a Super Bowl weekend?
I know the souvenirs are. I would think that the sex would be, too.
That should have been his tip-off, that it was only $40. That should have keyed him that maybe it was a cop.
Yeah, right.
Well, that was just a weird coincidence.
Very.
So we got back very late on Friday night, and what did you guys do on Friday night when we were out at that party?
I noticed that they had stone crabs on the menu in room service, and I got myself a double order. And as soon as the check came, I noticed that there's a reason they don't put the price of stone crabs. You know, that's the big famous thing in Miami, is that they got a stone crab restaurant down there. And the stone crabs are the big claws that you get. And my total bill, I got a little shrimp dish, and I got 2 orders of stone crab, and I got a little custard for room service.
Of course.
And my total bill for the bill at room service was $1 million. But that's it. Then I fell asleep because I had to head out a little earlier than all you guys, and I had to get ready for my big harrowing flight the next day.
Oh, did I tell you what I did the highest? I tell you a couple of times when we were there that I ordered like Diet Coke and everything for everybody. When the guy at the desk says, you want to sign for this? I signed Sam Huff's name.
God.
I don't even know if Sam Huff was staying at that hotel or not.
Short end of the stick.
But I figured I came up on the short end of the stick.
Oh, my God.
You know, heck, Sam Huff gets his name mentioned all the time on this show.
Sure. The NFL probably paid for it.
He can afford to buy us a couple of drinks.
Sure. For a few Pepsis, it doesn't matter.
I even signed one Sam Huff, HOF. Hall of Fame.
Thanks for the Diet Pepsi. See you later.
So, let me see. Chronologically, we're up to Friday night now.
Right.
Okay. Now we're up. Let me do a break. We'll come back with the airline story.
Yes. I mean, you know, Oh, dear. I don't make this stuff up. I really don't. And, you know, I am a phobic fly. Everybody knows it. And I wish I wasn't. And if I had experiences that, you know, didn't happen like this, I probably wouldn't be a phobic flyer, but I still am. I'm more than ever.
Oh, then we still got plenty more stuff, too, besides plenty more of the Super Bowl stuff to get to.
Right.
You know, just let me mention, again, the Valentine's Day nude thing. Mm-hmm. We've gotten a couple of letters, a couple of faxes. We're going to get into that today.
Excellent.
We've got to pick a couple by the end of this week because the tentative date for the Valentine's Day nude wedding is a week from this Friday.
It's chop chop time.
Okay.
Man.
Also, Monica's robe, Monica's room service receipt, Monica Lewinsky's odor eaters. We're going to pull them out. We're going to smell them. We're going to taste them. We're going to give them away on today's big show.
Yeah. Hooray.
Did I mention the cash call jackpot? $136 American dollars.
Remember that number.
That's 136. Why, you could buy 4 BJs and still have cash left over.
If you were a high-powered NFL player.
Right? 136 is the cash call jackpot. Listen, we'll be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
And it's also on in Washington, correct?
Yes, it is. It's a nationally syndicated show all over the country.
This is not something you should do. Do something money-like for me while I talk about my story here. We're getting coast-to-coast coverage right now on the Don and Mike Show. So how's that? That's pretty exciting. We own this exclusively, so this is a proud moment for all of us. We took the best that the baseball world has to offer with those of the world of computer aficionados. And we found, well, actually found some websites that even the most casual baseball fan will find is a hit.
Mark.
The Orioles told me that he gets something like hundreds of thousands of hits during the offseason. So check it out. Let me give you the keywords to look up. There's the Orioles. You type in there and you get that. Major League Baseball. Baseball Prospectus.
Don really wants to say hello to Mary Beth in Washington. He wants to say hello, Mary Beth. Hi.
Okay, Mary Beth's off today, but thank you.
Saturday on National Radio Show.
All right, we got the bunny in, and you can look up the bunny on the webpage as well, I guess, Stan and Sandra.
Well, he's like the ever-ready bunny.
He just keeps on. He's already been thrown out of the stadium,
yeah.
So we thought we took him and give him a little home here. Yeah, it's amazing.
Okay. All right.
Let's throw him off the newscast now so we can move on, okay?
All right.
Bye-bye. Oh, man.
Bye-bye, bunny.
Time for the George and Mr. Happy Show, starring Don and Mike.
I tell you what, Jimmy the intern, he's the best buddy in town. Good buddy in town.
Remember that we set him up for some reason at Camden Yards dressed up in a bunny costume?
Yeah, and then the anchor guys.
Certain anchor guys really hate us. Yeah.
Let's throw him off the newscast, shall we?
That's a guy from Channel 2 with a hair lift. That guy, Stan. Right?
Yeah.
Turn to news.
Let's throw them off the newscast, shall we?
Okay, listen. Okay, people are on the phone. They want to talk with us.
Yes.
That's too bad.
Right.
We have to get past all of our weekend stuff first.
Good for you. This is therapy for us, ladies and gentlemen.
Then I promise we'll get to your calls. Christine, the only calls that we will take right away is we got a serious call about the nude wedding a week from Friday, our big Valentine's Day extravaganza.
Nudes will always stop the show.
Where we need a couple that will agree to be married naked on our national radio show. In return, we offer up a limo, a honeymoon, a reception, and, of course, the chance to be married with TV's Lou Ferrigno.
That's the high point.
I mean, you don't get to marry him, but
he's there. He's a witness to your wedding.
TV's Lou Ferrigno, the greenish Incredible Hulk, will be a special celebrity in-studio master of ceremonies.
But we've been told he will be wearing clothing.
For the nude wedding, which is happening next Friday. Listen, everything's in place for this.
Yes.
We got the limo, we got the food, we got the reverend, we got the rings, we got the honeymoon, we got the celebrity. All we need is the couple.
We need the couple, we need the maid of honor, and we need the best man.
Yeah, you got to have at least four naked people.
Four naked people for the ceremony. We're not going to make you, like, walk down to your reception naked. It's just the ceremony. So, I mean, if you can handle that and if it's something that intrigues you, let us know. We'd love to do it for you.
And we've had some responses. I've got some of the letters here. And if we get a chance, we're going to call some of those people today. But I'd like to have a little better selection.
We're looking for the best nudes in town.
With the most people. If you can supply not only yourself and the person you're planning on marrying and a maid of honor and a best man, if you can go past the four guaranteed nudes there to include family and friends that will come down,
mm-hmm.
and they will also get naked to watch you get married in the nude.
That's right.
Well, then, you know, your money. So call us or fax us, and our toll-free fax line is 1-800-636-6410. So it's now Saturday morning.
Okay.
And as some of us are getting up, to go off to a day of doing the NFL experience. That would be me and Bart, what we did on Saturday morning. I know that Mike, at the early hour, about, what, 8 o'clock, you were already leaving Miami Saturday?
9 o'clock flight.
Saturday morning?
9 o'clock flight. I was up at 6:30 getting ready to head over to the airport, and I like to get there early, as you know. Got to the airport very, very early, and not for the obvious reasons. Actually did not enjoy any quiet conversation with my friends, but I got to the airport. You know when you're late for a plane, you will get a cab driver that will go and drive as slowly. Mm-hmm. I go down to the lobby at about 7 o'clock. I figure I'll get to the airport about 10 of 8, leisurely check in, be ready. You know, they'll board about 8:30. I get down to the lobby at about, I would say, 10 of 7. Mm-hmm. The cab is there immediately. I get into this cab, and as far as I'm concerned, this cab could have gone via South Beach to get to the airport.
It's a 10-minute drive to the airport.
I
don't
know. You know, crazy me. For some strange reason, you might find this interesting, I did not remember how long it took to get from the airport to the hotel.
Oh, that's right, because you were
I didn't know that.
Feeling good when we arrived on Thursday night.
And you're right. It is a, it's about a 15-20-minute drive to get to the airport. The guy, this is the fastest cab ride I have ever had. I do not mind fast cab rides. In fact, the faster the better. Because you get there, but this guy, there was no need to get there quickly, but he flew me to the airport. The cab picked me up at 7 o'clock. I was at the airport at 7:30. That's how soon I got there. So I get in there. I got all this time. I'm walking around, but I don't like to, like, linger in the outer areas. I like to get right through security and get right to my gate and see what's going on. Well, the gate,
and that's where Mike stands around and urinates. So to stake out his territory all around the gate where you're going to be getting on the airplane.
I stake out my territory, and I knew the day was going to be bad when I walk over and I'm checking just to make sure the flights are all in time. And with the way I looked at the departure board at the airport is I am walking slowly at about, just a half pace, and I'm looking and I'm checking, and as I'm walking forward, probably shouldn't have been walking forward, I'm walking at half speed to check the departure time, and I say, okay, my flight, it's on time, 9 o'clock, we're all set. And I stop, and I turn, and a guy hits me like a linebacker.
Ooh.
With a full 16-ounce cup of coffee.
Oh.
He couldn't have spilled more of this coffee on me. He could have taken it, seriously, and dumped it on my sport coat that I was wearing, and he could have poured it on me, and it would have been a little less effective. I mean, this guy got it all, and he's a British guy with a tan. He's a British fancy lad with a tan.
Guy.
Now, wait, he doesn't have any attitude at all. In fact, his attitude is immediately, I'm in the wrong, and so I'm not, even though I've got that pre-flight, I'm still not going to go.
Pre-flight anger?
I think my feeling was just at this point, I'm like, oh, God. All right. He's like, I'm very sorry. I said, well, you know, I guess I stopped short, too, and you were walking. Oh, man, I tell you what, I guess that coffee would have tasted like crap anyway. I'm like, okay, yeah, don't worry about it, as I'm washing off my coffee. And I figured it was just superficial because I got to it so quickly. And the first question the guy asked me, he said, you don't have any third-degree burns, do you? No problem at all. And I'm like, no, I'm fine. All right, I see you later, idiot. Enjoy your flight, you moron. And I got all this coffee. I sit down over in those fantastically comfortable lounge seats that they have outside the gate. And all of a sudden, I'm going, and I realize this coffee has not only gone through the sport coat, but it's gone through the sport coat on my side and my shirt. So the sport coat is really, if I'm going to wear this on the plane.
Did you decide to take your shirt off and just put the sport coat?
No, I took everything off. I got on the plane on my boxers. I fold up my sport coat and I put it in my little travel bag. And then I check, and there's only like a little spooge on my arm where the coffee is spilled. And I don't smell as much of mocha java or whatever it was that I did before. And so everything's fine. I read my little People magazine. I even give it to the lovely family of three next to me to read, which I thought was a nice gesture. And
very generous.
I'm very, very benevolent of you.
I'm a very happy man on this one. I'm being very polite.
Even though I'm nervous, I'm a nervous wreck because I hate to fly.
Please, the little people, enjoy my used copy of People magazine.
Enjoy this. Take this as my gift. And they were so so grateful.
So appreciative.
They really were. I mean, you know, I'm sure they would have wanted to offer something, but I gave him that to me.
It looks like the white devil gave us a magazine.
This is yours, my gift, and you can keep it with no tariff. So I handed it.
I didn't trade you a seat for it.
I really, you know, I'll tell you, the young boy, the young lad, their son, obviously, had a lovely leather bag, but I didn't want it. I said, here, take the magazine as my gift, and I'll read my entertainment this week later, you know, my show business. Because, of course, being in show business, I like to keep up on the latest
goings up.
They understood.
With the showbiz celebrities.
So did they tell you were in showbiz?
They could tell. I mean, I think everybody. I mean, I give off that vibe that I'm in show business, and that's why people like to talk, but they usually respect my privacy. So I noticed I'm there so early that I'm watching the lady arrive that's going to open the gate, and I'm seeing her set up her little stanchions to make sure that she directs people in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And I see these two guys, as soon as she arrives, they do this beeline over the gate, and I'm like, oh no, too early. She's not going to like you because she's just started. Sure enough, she said, gentlemen, you're in my way. It'll be another 10 minutes, please. And I have a smile on my face because I didn't go over there.
Johnny first on the plane,
yeah,
right?
I resisted the urge to run as soon as she got out off her little elevator. I wanted to run to her and go, please check me in, because unlike the flight down, I do like to be first on the plane.
That's what I told Bart. I'm very surprised. Uh-huh. Uncle Mike's not here. Uncle Mike likes being the first guy on the airplane.
So I get on the plane.
To urinate on the seats.
The plane is there. I look at the plane. I check the plane out. Plane looks fine. I see the crew arrive. The crew looks a little weird to me. Just a little jumpy. Just in my humble opinion. They're looking around like they weren't. They're checking their little printout on the computer. Then one talks to the other. Then the other guy heads on little swivels. Just a little weird. And I took note of it, right? I made a little. But they get onto the plane. Then we board the plane. I'm very glad just to be getting on the plane and getting this started. The flight attendant comes over to me and says, can I get you anything to drink? And at that point, even though I hadn't enjoyed any quiet conversation, I said, well, why not? Just a little something to take the edge off. And,
right.
And since I'm taking the edge off, just a little double something. So I ask him for a tomato martini. As a joke, saying I just want a double martini just to take the edge off. And he doesn't understand that, so I have to go through this whole thing of explaining it, why I want just, I said, I'm a little nervous, why? I just want to... A double? Well, this is early in the morning. Why? The man in this seat wants a double. He, on the plane, for the whole world to know, he is drinking a double at this early hour.
He's almost gotten on the intercom.
Oh.
Attention, United Passengers, alcoholic in section C2B.
It kills me, of course, the guy next to me. What can I get you for? Sprite, no ice. So, aren't you special? So he has his Sprite with no ice. And he's a reader, fine, all right. No conversation.
Not a talker.
And after that little debacle on the way down, I don't want to get into this. So, we were all set. I'm fine. I have my tomato martini. The plane starts to taxi. I'm almost finished with it. I feel very at ease. The guy's not talking, but, I'm not into talking either because I got my window seat and I'm going to look out the window. We taxi out.
What about that thing you like where you put the headphones on and you get to hear, what the pilot is saying?
I think they only do that on another airline. I don't think they do it on this airline. They might, but that's a thought because I didn't think to do that. Because I hadn't had my window seat on the way down.
You and I have been on the plane together. When I've said that to you, that's my last desperation.
To do that.
When you keep wanting to talk to me, when I say finally, hey, put the headphones on and listen to the pilot. You love that.
And that hypnotizes me.
That works, man.
I love it. I wish it was on every plane, but I assumed because this was like the plane we flew down on, because I assumed that this plane was just a little bit older, like Lindbergh's plane. I figured that we would. This isn't all. You know what? The guy told me.
I can never tell the difference. We get on an airplane to me. If it doesn't have propellers, I go, that's fine.
It's a jet. He just says to me, after everything that happened, the guy said to me, who was a pilot, a private pilot, said he estimated the plane was about 25, 30 years old.
Ooh.
But they maintain. Yeah,
that's bad?
Yeah, see, he doesn't care. Yeah, thank you for going woo, because 30. That does scare me.
It's an airplane,
It's an old plane. It's a very old plane. As a matter of fact, most of those planes are slowly but surely being taken out of service because they're modernizing the fleet in most major airlines. Just in my case, not modernizing the fleet quick enough, right?
Okay.
Like maybe that morning they could have modernized the place.
All right.
So we taxi out, and I'm fine. He's reading. I'm looking out the window. We start out. We head down. It's a very flight's on time. It's a half-empty flight because I'm leaving early. Most people are coming in instead of going out. We get down, and we do what they call, on the older planes, too, I notice they do what's called the rolling takeoff, where they don't stop on the end of the runway and then throttle forward. What they do is they kind of take the left-hand turn, and as they're turning, they start to speed up because they're going to get going. So he starts to speed up, and I know the routine. I've flown enough, and it's like, and you hear that. Gets up to about takeoff speed, slows down a little bit, and I'm like, whoa, not normal, weird, not right, not normal, not right, not normal,
putting on the brakes,
no, de-throttling. No brakes yet. And then starts to slow down a little bit. Starts to speed up again. You know, big long runway at Miami. Okay, starts to speed up. So
maybe
he,
just gun in the engine.
So it goes. I'm like, fine. And then put the brakes on, like taking my third vertebrae and putting it through the. I mean, we're at full takeoff speed, and he goes. And we are, the brakes are put on, and I, you know, I'm just like, I didn't scream, but I'll tell you, you know, there, and nobody did. I will tell you, on this plane, nobody screamed. Nobody screamed, and we're still on the ground. At this point, though, you're thinking, he's going to be able to stop this thing, but I hope he stops it in relatively short order, and I hope he stops it before, you know, we get into the, you know, the bay or whatever the hell, the, you know, in the Everglades. And so he stops the plane. We're all like, it's one of those deals where you're stopping and you feel, you do this sometimes when you land, where the plane lands and you feel the tug of the seatbelt because it's stopping so short. He stops and immediately he finds a little area to turn left to and gets on.
Ladies and gentlemen, we apologize. I issued the order for safety reasons to abort the takeoff. We have a loose panel up here.
And I'm like,
listen, we apologize, but here at the airline, safety is of paramount concern, and that is why I made the...
And he's going into this, like, jargon, which is doing nothing to make me feel anymore, because he's going to this whole, like, right out of the book.
I made the elected offer to abort the takeoff due to safety grants. Safety is first on the airline. That is why I decided not to take off the plane that would probably blow up.
So he pulls over and he says, and then he goes and he said, I'm going to be back with you in a moment. We do have a minor problem up here. It's a loose panel. And so at this point, the guy next to me goes, and I said, what? he does this little chuckle. We haven't spoken at all, but his little chuckle, you know, and the guy said, what? He's like, it's not a loose panel. I'm like,
that's the wrong thing to say to you.
I'm like, I'm seriously a quarter of an inch from this guy's face at this point. Why? It's not, what do you mean it's not a loose panel? What is it? Why would he do that? And he's like, well, usually in order to abort a takeoff, they have to file a lot of paperwork into something a little bit more serious. But you know something? If the plane turns left, it is a minor problem. If it turns right, you'll know we're going back to the gate. So as soon as this guy was so right about everything, as soon as he says that, right-hand turn.
Ooh.
Pilot gets back on.
The loose panel problem, we're going to have this taken a look at. Maintenance, safety first. We're going to go back to the airport.
At this point, I'm thinking only one thing. I'm saying, give me more medicine. I want more medicine. And I'm looking up at the flight attendant. And I said, this is why I do this, and I just want to relax a little more. We start taxiing back. They bring us out. They don't bring us back to the gate. They bring us out into the middle of the tarmac.
Did you get to ride the slide?
No, they didn't do that. They didn't do it because there was no fire or anything like that. But then he comes back on.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a loose panel. Also, that is one of our problems we are looking at. Number one engine seems to be issuing a fail light. And he's given all this, and I'm like, and at this point, you know what I'm saying? All I want off of that plane. I don't care if they fix it or, but he keeps giving us updates that they're going to take a look at it. They're going to see what's going on. And I decide that, you know, I'm going to get the guy's attention and say, could I please? Thank you. And so we did that. About 40 minutes goes by. They make the decision. It's not a sensor panel. It is actually a problem with number one engine. And we're making arrangements right now to transfer all of you to a different aircraft.
What's going on? You have a problem with your number two engine.
Oh, my God. I mean, my number two, it was all really good. I didn't, you know, I was going to soil myself. And meanwhile, I got the expert next to me. And now I'm in his lap practically going, so what happens when the plane flies? You know, it's just, I'm really into it. They got us onto another plane. There was a little layover, but they were really quick about it, and they deserve credit for that, and I give them credit because they got us all booked onto another flight. When they did that, I figured it's a little more, you know, it's a little later in the morning, and I wanted to get the same seats that I had, or relatively the same seats, so I said, I get to the top of the escalator, and I said, I better walk briskly, and so when I got to the counter, I got rebooked onto the flight, everything was fine, I looked, and there were probably about 65 to 70 people in back of me, all waiting to get on the same plane. They got us onto the plane, there was actually a little layover. So what I decided to do was just, you know, spend a little time chatting quietly with a friend of mine. And,
surprise.
And I did. And everything was fine after that. And the flight on the newer, more modern plane, you know, the one that didn't look like something Eddie Rickenbacker would fly, was actually trouble-free. And I arrived at the airport, and my wife was there to pick me up. And that's when I went, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And everything,
fair warning, okay? It's not better. It's not any better.
My little problem with that is not any better. It's a lot worse. I'm a lot more nervous now, but hopefully everything will be just fine. And I wish I could just get on a plane like you and
sleep.
Yes.
Two words for you.
Yes.
And I mean this seriously.
Yes, go
right
ahead.
The rest of our remote appearances we have to do.
Yes.
Madden Cruiser.
Get me one,
you know,
I'm on it.
We got to get a client, Subway, or one of our big national sponsors to get you a bus.
I'll leave at midnight. It won't matter. You just give me the Madden Cruiser. I'd love it, man. You know, get a nice sponsor. You know, I'll eat steak all the way across the country. It'll be a lot of fun. But I'm back, and I'm just glad to be back.
We're glad, safe.
We're glad to have you.
Bosom of my family.
God.
Okay.
My bosoms are a little irritated after that.
And Rob has volunteered to be the driver of your bus, Mike.
Fantastic.
That's right.
Yeah. The two of you driving across America on a big old bus together.
It'll end up being a Volkswagen bus.
With like spray-painted Mike Cruiser on the side.
Okay, hold on. Time out. Time out. We'll be right back with more show.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show. Sports 1140. Come, suckle the comedy teeth of the Don and Mike Show.
All right.
I was on an airplane with that guy today. Joe Jacoby. Yeah, he didn't know it was me, but I knew it was him.
Oh, very cool.
I got to tell you something about that.
Oh,
first, we're now on in Denver.
Yeah,
they picked the show up an hour in progress.
Right.
And I'd be interested to talk to any of you idiots that were at the riot last night.
Yeah, anybody that maybe stoked the bonfire.
You know, went jumping through the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you got maced or tear gassed by the cops. Here is a 14-year-old boy, Mike, from Denver, who says he was there.
Ah, at the big riot last night.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, were you at the riot, kid?
Yeah.
Really? Who took you there? Mommy, Daddy?
My dad.
Mm-hmm. Your dad, big Denver fan?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You too?
Yep.
Yeah. Did your daddy jump in the fire?
No, but he got tear gassed by some cops.
Did he really?
Yep.
Really? So a lot of people got out of hand, huh?
Yeah.
Your dad wasn't one of them, was he?
No, but, like, lots of people were, like, turning over those, like, newspaper stands and, like, flipping cars and stuff.
Yeah, that's a great Super Bowl tradition in this country, son.
We got heart.
You got heart. Okay, well, maybe someone a little older will call us to tell us about what happened at the riots last night.
So what was 18 if you want me to.
What was the lesson your dad had for you after all this was over? What did he say? Was there any valuable lesson, you know, as far as people and the way they should behave? Did he say anything?
Why would a father take a son? You know, I can't picture that. I got a son. How old are you, kid? Like 14, you said?
Yeah.
I got a son that's going to be 14 in March. The last thing I could picture is, like, if a sports team around here won a championship, I say to him, listen, let's get in a car and drive downtown where there's going to be, like, a million drunk idiots setting the town on fire.
Yeah, I would think of better places.
I'm sorry, I thought this kid was probably the designated driver.
He's a pretty cool dad.
Father. Why did he take you down there, though?
Because he was going to go, and he knew that if he left me at home, I'd go anyway. So, you know, he just brought me along.
It's one of those situations.
Mm-hmm.
I understand now.
Okay, all right.
Now it's perfectly clear.
All right, goodbye, son.
All right.
Goodbye.
I'm just going to get out if you leave me, Dad. A-hole.
It's one of those situations. A strong parenting environment.
Hello, Don, on my show.
Mike, I think you should really listen to that fear you have of flying. It's a premonition. You're going to go down.
God.
No, he's not, because he's taking the Mike Cruiser.
That's right.
From now on.
We're getting it right. We're going to go to a car auction and get one of those old Volkswagen Beetles.
And if we can't, Mike, we're going to get a rickshaw. And Rob's just going to carry you around on a rickshaw.
Do they, you know, and I had a serious conversation with Rob on a flight one time. If you, like, were to bring a parachute in one of your duffel bags, I mean, what's to say, you can bring any carry-on item you want, right? What if one was a parachute?
Why don't you just wear one underneath your regular clothes, like the way Superman wore his Superman suit under his suit?
Let me tell you something. If you tell the rest of the patients on the plane that, you know, that it's a hump, you know, that I have a hunchback, then maybe we can pull that off.
All right, listen, I want to tell you about Joe Jacoby.
You had an interesting companion with you on your flight.
I got a couple of things about the Super Bowl to tell you, including an altercation I had. But first of all, I just got to tell you about the flight back today, that it's like bonkers at the airport. Everybody's trying to get out at the same time. We're on the first flight out this morning, leaves Miami at 7:30 a.m.,
right?
We're sitting up in the front part of the plane, and Bart and I are in the two front seats on the left side, and this guy that hates our guts, Joe Jacoby, a big offensive lineman, used to play for the Redskins. He, and was still very handsome, man, incidentally. He and his wife are sitting in the other two seats,
directly across the aisle from us, and we're both the front seats, meaning that in front of us, there's a wall.
Right, of course.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So, Bart says to me, hey, that's that guy that hates you. I said, yeah, I know. I know. I'm trying to keep it, like, low-key, right?
Of course.
But he doesn't recognize me from Adam.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, no, I'm
very... It's more relaxed that way.
I'm very happy about that. But he's like one of these guys. He's, like, taking off his Super Bowl ring and showing it to the stewardess and stuff.
Right.
And like, you know, people are coming down the aisle, and he's going, like, hey, how you doing? Hey, it was a good game. You know,
you win a Super Bowl in America, you're royalty. That's
right. Sure. So, I'm not saying dick to him. I'm just reading the newspaper, and I'm talking with my son. Plane takes off, and his wife is sitting there with him. Okay, she's a nice-looking lady. She takes her shoes off. I got no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Except she's got no socks on. Okay?
No.
Just big, ugly feet. And you know what she does with these big, ugly feet?
What?
She puts them up on the wall. Now, watch how I'm sitting here.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You're sitting like this in an airplane, right?
Yeah.
And you're the first two seats, and there's a wall in front of you.
Right.
You lean your chair back a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and your feet go up like this.
Right.
Almost like you're in the stirrups or like you're in a dentist seat. And, I mean, people are being served their breakfast.
Right.
And Joe Jacoby's wife's feet are up in the air against the wall for the entire flight. I mean, the woman...
Not even any nylons or anything on there?
No! No, and it's not like the feet were... She's a tall woman.
Right.
She was stretching her legs out, and the feet...
So they're up there. Those feet are up like above the seat level where everybody can see them.
Everybody on the whole freaking plane can see this lady's feet. But because she's with this big Frankenstein football player, nobody says anything to her. Like, listen, lady.
Was there any odor?
I don't want to say.
Okay, good. That's very good.
I don't want
very
to say.
Very kind of you.
I couldn't discern if there where everybody on the plane can see them.
Right. These are my dogs. Any toenail polish or anything? Oh, they did have toenail polish.
Yes, they were painted.
Now, there's one redeeming factor.
They were painted, but... Oh. Jesus. You know, here's a movie you'd make every once in a while. She would have her legs straight up in the air. Right?
Yeah.
Her feet against the wall. He would just reach over and, like, massage her leg. Like, I'm sure it's just like a husband-wife love thing. Like,
sure.
Hey, I love you very much.
A little squeeze of the calf or something like that.
Rub his hand up and down the leg, and it's like, you know, I don't mind the public displays of affection, but I don't want to see your feet when I'm trying to have my fruit plate and my Special K this morning.
You're absolutely right.
Oh, Christ.
And to say nothing of the next flight, you know, that comes back where somebody wants to put their feet up there, then they get her feet. And, you know, when you put your feet up on that wall, you've been with
everybody else's feet, right? Except most people, decent people,
keep their shoes on.
Or at very least, you know, put socks on.
Have socks on, or, you know, just maybe, in Rob's case, slippers.
Hey, we were on an airplane once with this guy. This guy,
feet are gross on an airplane. You're happy. Yeah, there's something more gross about feet on an airplane.
I'm telling you, I'm like, this was grosser than the time. One time, me and Mike were on a plane, and we saw this guy. First thing he does, takes his shoes off.
And it's just gross. It's just, you know, wait a little while. You know, allow people to maybe get situated before you kick your shoes off and share your foot odor with us.
But even socks or stockings.
Right.
You know, I don't think there's a problem with that. I'm talking bare feet. And big feet for a girl. Pretty big feet.
Large. And also a big girl, tall enough to actually get those feet up where everybody could see them.
Yeah. That's all I wanted to say.
Was she in the window seat or the aisle seat?
Window seat.
Okay.
Class. That's all I want to say. Class move.
Thank you.
Like, the guy's not going to be noticed enough already. The guy's like a Frankenstein already. And, of course, he's got a shirt that says NFL on it.
Right.
You know, I mean, like today, I'm wearing a Packer shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You take a look at me, you know what I am? I'm Joe Fan. I'm the guy in the barrel. Pretty obvious I'm not a football player, okay?
Pretty obvious he is.
Yeah, right.
Pretty obvious that plane probably had a little trouble getting off the ground with him on.
He's got to wear the shirt. He's got the big NFL shield on. He's got his big Super Bowl ring. Hey, no problem with that. If I was in that situation, I'd do the same thing. But you know what I do? I tell my wife, put shoes on.
Put shoes on those feet.
Don't put your big feet up where everybody in the plane can see them when we're trying to have our breakfast.
Yeah, I don't blame you a bit. That's rude.
Oh.
It's nasty. His wife enjoys that. That is nasty.
And of all guys, that's the guy. This guy, Joe Jacoby. This guy. I mean, I know we say all the time that people hate our guts.
Right.
And most time the people that don't know me and Mike from Adam and Eve.
Sure.
But this is a guy who really hates our guts.
I know.
He does because we did an impression of him for years. We will not be undersold. I'm Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
I'm Frankenstein.
I'd like to talk to you about foot vision. The kind of vision that you get every time my wife puts her big feet up on the cloth.
Was it cloth?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like, you see the material on the wall behind you?
Yes, that same kind of stuff.
That like, yeah.
That adds to the grossness.
Oh, my God.
It probably would have been just as gross if it had been like a ceramic or something. I mean, you know, like a plastic tile.
And
wall.
I think that's the reason she felt comfortable doing it, because it was like putting your feet on like a carpet-like surface.
Yeah, probably felt real good. Almost like a little vibrating action against her dog.
Oh,
big
gross, man.
Painted toenails.
Gross. I wouldn't let my kid do that on an airplane.
I'm surprised, really, that, you know, you usually look out for the rest of the plane. You didn't lean over and go, excuse me.
Yeah.
Could you pop those shoes back on,
and
Missy?
You know, if it was anybody else except Frankenstein Jacoby, I would have.
If you wouldn't have been able to, like, reach across the aisle and just twist your head off to be you.
And at one point, she turned around and looked at me.
Mm-hmm.
I was obviously just staring at her, a huge circus clown-like feet. I'm staring at the feet, and she turned around and looked at me, and she gave me a look. It was like Bart and I were talking, saying, like, look at that lady's feet. I was saying to Bart, do you realize how rude that lady is? To put her big ugly feet up on the wall of an airplane directly again. She turned around and she gave me a look that was like, oh, that's cute. Father and son talking. And we gave her a look back that was like, hi.
Oh, there you go. Yes, good.
How you doing?
Everything's fine. We're talking about your feet.
Your feet.
Your big feet. Oh, on the next flight down, somebody might just kick their shoes off.
All right, well, that was an American Airlines flight that would be departing Reagan National this morning, I don't know, about 11 o'clock. So, I don't know. You get off the plane and you get itchy.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, you know, you don't feel the bottoms of your feet.
Okay, so, that was this morning.
Right.
I just got to tell you one thing about the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I got to get this off my chest.
I really do, because I was wronged at the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and I was so pissed off and so embarrassed in front of my son yesterday.
Oh, right. Man.
We had, let me just say up front, of course, a great time,
because
I love football. My son loves football. It's a big time for us to go. Oh, he drove me crazy. Yesterday, we read in the newspaper that the gates open at Pro Player Stadium at 9 o'clock.
Wow.
They say that you better get there early. So, you thought the Fox pregame show started early?
Mm-hmm.
Bart, Charlie Boyhill, and myself left our hotel yesterday morning at 10 a.m.
for the 6:30 kickoff.
We arrived at the stadium. Hey, surprise, no problem with traffic at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
We arrived at 10:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
8 hours before kickoff.
Oh, my God.
Fun.
What'd you do?
Well, mainly we walked around a lot,
uh-huh.
and we went to the NFL Experience where you throw the footballs, and Bart got his face painted and junk.
There you go.
And we bought jerseys. We bought Jamal Anderson jerseys. I bought one for me, and I bought one for Bart.
Mm-hmm.
So we're wearing them around, and now it's 3 o'clock. It's still 3.5 hours until kickoff. And now we can get into the stadium. Now, we have tickets, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We got tickets, we got nice seats for the game, but we also have press passes. And what the press passes mean is that there's a special little press area, and you go sit there, and they give you, like, a clipboard and a seat cushion, and they give you a free sandwich, okay?
It's a, you know, it's kind of a junket for the press guys, because, you know, there are 450,000 press people down here for the game.
Right. Now, I've gone to the trouble of getting Bart a credential,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, Broyhill, me, and Bart, we go into the stadium, we go past all the security, every Johnny Renicop in the world is there,
right.
you know, wanting to be a tough guy, checking the security.
Mm-hmm.
We go through, we've got the tags, we get down to our area, there's the seats, they say WJFK, Redskins Radio. We sit down, fantastic. We got the little box of free food and stuff. We got the clipboards. I'm sitting there being a big man with my son. Now, keep in mind, some of these other creepy sports writers are coming in, and they've got, like, their old wives who look like Corbin Burnson's mother. So it's obvious that it's not just,
you know,
quote, unquote, the working press that are in here.
Absolutely. I completely understand. It's the way the game works.
Everybody's got the hangers on. Well, the first guy comes over, the guy with the earpiece, like the Secret Service guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
He comes over and he says, can I see your credentials, please?
Like,
no problem. Now, keep in mind, I'm wearing a pair of shorts and a Jamal Anderson jersey.
You're wearing your Joe Fan outfit.
Right. Now, I've also got my radio TV tag around my neck and the Super Bowl thing that says I'm with the press and I'm allowed to be in this area that I'm in.
Yeah, and it's a lounge area.
No, not a lounge. These are seats in the stadium.
Okay, all right. So you're up in the press box.
Not even in the press box, Mike. These are just seats.
Right.
The regular seats that I had for the game were better than the seats that were in this press area. We were just sitting there because it was 3.5 hours before the goddamn game
started.
Just
checking it out and just having, right. You know, not hurting anybody.
So the guy comes over, he looks at my press thing, he looks at Bart's press thing, and he says, what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm covering the game. Guy says, what about your son? I said, well, he's my son. It's kind of a thrill for him. I got him a credential. He says, well, is he actually on the show? So if you want to be technical, yes.
Yeah, he says, he's the associate producer.
He says, yes, he was on our show just this past Friday. The guy says,
and he was.
First guy says to me, hey, no problem. That's great. I got kids myself. I can understand. Have a good time. Mm-hmm. He walks away. About 20 minutes later, another guy comes up. Now, this guy, I got to get his name from Charlie Broyhill because he worked for the Seattle Seahawks. I'm going to call that son of a bitch today on our radio show.
Right.
He's got a name tag, and whatever his name is, Seattle Seahawks. He comes up with the earpiece. Now, keep in mind, it's 3:30, 3 hours before kickoff. Mm-hmm. There are maybe 15 people sitting in this section of 400 seats.
Right.
We've got the credentials. We're sitting in the assigned seats. The guy comes over and says to me, excuse me, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. I say, why? He said, well, maybe you would like it if I didn't say this in front of your son. I said, all right. I said, Barty, why don't you go out and get yourself a soft drink and let me talk to this man for a second, right? And now he says, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. I said, why? He said,
and incidentally, if you're going to say something, because you said, maybe I don't want to say this in front of your son, right. You don't say, maybe I don't want to say this in front of your son, who's old enough to know that when you're saying right. something like that, so you're right. pulling a tutor. If you really want to do that, you take the person aside and right. I speak to you for a second over here.
So Charles Royale takes Barty on. They go into the lounge here, and he gets him a soft drink. And the guy says to me, well, you have to leave. And I said, why? I have credentials. I've got them from the NFL office. Right. And here's the reason the guy gives me. What a ballbuster. He says, well, you and your son, you're wearing jerseys. I said, yes? He said, look at the other members of the press. And I look around, and I see a bunch of fat, sloppy guys who are wearing ill-fitting golf shirts, mm-hmm. many of them wearing shorts, bad sandals, big yellow toenails, old guys with their wives look like Corbin Burnson's freaking mother.
Right, there's no dress code. You got anybody who covered anything. There's no dress code in the press box.
Exactly. I looked around and I said, I don't see anybody else here that's sticking to this dress code. Mm-hmm. And then he says to me, now the whole time he's talking to somebody in his earphone, he's doing that thing where he's talking into his sleeve, and he's going, yeah, I'm talking to him now. The situation I control. Situation. I can't believe I'm getting all this security, right? He says to me, now listen, if you don't vacate this area, I'm just simply going to have you ejected from the stadium. I said, you're going to eject me from the stadium? I have credentials. I am a working member of the press. I don't like it that you don't like it, that because I'm wearing a jersey, you're going to kick me out. You can't kick me out.
Did he give you anything specifically,
no.
like a regulation that
no.
was in place or anything like
just
that?
Just being a dick.
Oh,
so,
a man.
So I said to the guy, I had to pull out the biggest trump card I had. I said, well, do you see this tag? You see who I work for? CBS. And the guy still doesn't give me an attitude. I said, have you ever heard the name Mel Karmazin? I swear to God, he said that. And, and the guy says to me, oh, yes. Yes, I know Mel. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I bet that I know Mel better than you know Mel.
And what did he do then?
He said, well, maybe we should just go to a telephone and call Mel right now. And I said, hey, that'd be fine with me. You got his number?
That's a good idea. Yeah,
I said, yeah, let's go call Mel right now, the guy who's president of CBS that paid $4 billion a year for the games. I work for CBS. I got the credentials. And you're kicking me out because I got a jersey on? I said, this is ridiculous. I said to the guy, you're telling me I got a T-shirt on underneath, that if I had come in just wearing a T-shirt, you wouldn't ask me to leave? He said, now, if you're going to keep this outburst going, I'm going to ask you to leave the stadium.
God.
I'm well within my rights to have you evicted from the stadium, and you will not be admitted back in for the Super Bowl. And I said, all right, listen. F you. I said, what's your name? I got his name, and now right. I forgot it, though, whatever, from the Seattle Seahawks.
Right.
I said, I'm going to get you. I said, you're an awful man.
You're a bad man.
So I said, you're a bad man for doing this.
Yes.
I said, I can't believe this.
And he said, well.
And no real reason as far as like a regulation
no,
or anything about the jersey.
I mean, if the jersey's the issue, you can take the jersey off.
But I offered to, and then he said, it's too late now.
Oh,
he said,
no.
He said, the decision has already been
oh,
made.
Oh, that's crap.
Yeah. And then he says to me, listen to this ball buster. He says, so you're going to have to leave this area now, and we're going to be watching for you. Don't come back, or there will be a police escort out of the stadium.
Unbelievable.
I swear to God, this is verbatim. Now, keep in mind, all I'm doing is sitting in the seat that I got a press credential to.
Right.
And all of this is because I'm wearing a goddamn Atlanta Falcons jersey.
And that's just, I mean, it, obviously he just, you know, he targeted you and he wanted to have a little fun and utilize a little power.
Right. So then I got to go outside. I got to, you know, in the outer area, I say to Bart, well, listen, we got to, you know, hey, I'm being booted out.
Right.
He said, well, Dad, we got the press credentials. You know, meanwhile, right. The guy has followed me out of this little press area. And now he's standing there, still talking into his sleeve, watching me as I'm standing in this little snack bar area, getting my stuff to leave this part of the stadium.
Amazing.
Like watching me like I am some kind of terrorist threat or something.
Yeah, like you're really causing a major, major disturbance.
Right, so I just stood there and I just looked at the guy.
And you offered to take the jerseys off.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And if the jersey was the original issue and you offered to take it off,
and the guy said
put
me,
it away,
and
I said, what does it matter anymore?
The guy says to me, then he comes over, because I'm still getting, he goes, I thought I asked you to leave this area. I said, listen, buddy, I'm a working member of the press. I'm sorry if I don't look like your idea of a working member of the press, but I am. I am. I said, how about if we just take the jerseys off? And then he says to me, listen, I'm going to give you tickets so you can watch the game, and you'll still be able to do your job. I said, no. It's not the point. My boss already got me tickets. I said, I've got tickets for the game. I'm going to be sitting up in the stands during the game. I wanted to be here that's why I'm here 3 hours before the game. I don't want your tickets. He says, I'm sure the tickets I have are better than the tickets you have. I said, well, I don't care if your tickets are better than my tickets. I just want to go sit back out there where, incidentally, all kinds of nobodies are sitting. Like, there's a guy from WQIK. Mm-hmm. Stan the Fan was allowed to sit out there.
The best fan in town.
Right, but they kicked me out.
Oh, man, that sucks.
So that's the last thing I said to the guy.
It didn't ruin your enjoyment of the game, though, right?
I was hot for a little while.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's the advantage to being there 3 hours in advance.
I was hot for a while. So it's like we walked out, and then at one point I said to Bart, I said, now, when we turn this corner, run. I don't know if I have to go to the bathroom. I'm going to lose this guy.
Right.
So we had some focus. We were like walking. We
had a fugitive.
We got to a corner, and we took off running.
I can't believe this guy's occupying his time with you.
Oh, Charlie, would you please bring me that guy's name? Because I know he works for the Seattle Seahawks. I'm going to call this guy right now. You got his name?
You give some people a badge or a walkie-talkie, and they go crazy.
The guy's a pisser.
Hasn't returned from the Super Bowl yet. I'm trying to find the hotel he's staying in.
Okay. How about, just give me the number of the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
And just give me the guy's name. I won't say his last name on the air, but just give me his first name. Maybe I'll leave him a message on voicemail.
Get a little message from you.
Because his new pal.
It's embarrassing, man.
I know. It's got to suck. So now Bart and I are sitting in our normal seats for the game. Right. Which were great seats. I have no complaint with. I was going to go there anyway. I see guys sitting two rows in front wearing Broncos hats, and one of them's wearing a cat in a hat Dr. Seuss Broncos hat.
Right.
So I pick up the walkie-talkie, because I brought walkie-talkies. I mean, I call Broyhill. I go, come in, Carlos Broyhill. Yeah, I see a couple of guys wearing Dr. Seuss hats down there. And he goes, yeah, I don't know what the deal is. So Broyhill talked to the guy then later, and the guy said, really, the issue was not the jerseys.
Right.
But really, the issue was that Bart is only 13 years old.
No.
I said, well, the guy never said that.
Why wasn't he square? You know, and if he's square with you up front about that, then there's no problem.
But furthermore, the guy never said that to me to begin with. And second,
and then weren't there other guys that had people in there that were not working for us?
Yes, and the difference was that they're old women, right? You know.
So if you had dressed Bart up as an old woman,
yeah, he would have been in there.
Now you know.
Right.
And he could have been an old woman with a you know, a jersey on.
But listen, it's not like I was trying to sneak him in. He had a credential.
Right.
When we wrote to the NFL to get the Super Bowl stuff, we put on a piece of paper, Bart, who is my son.
Mm-hmm.
I said to this guy, what do you think? Look at me. I'm 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
How old do you think my son is going to be?
I know.
Right?
No, it's ridiculous.
It was just embarrassing as hell.
I can imagine. And, you know, all you're doing is trying to have a good time with your kid, and that's all. And that's frustrating that they do that. And, you know, when you're talking about what it really affects and the difference it makes, if he makes that call to have you up there or not have you up there, it means absolutely nothing.
Just a chance for a guy to have a heart on.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Got to be a tough guy.
Right. So. Yeah. You know, I'm going to, as soon as I find out Mel's phone number, I'm going to call Mel.
Good for you.
I don't happen to have his phone number on me right now.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll probably have to call Ken to ask Ken to call Mel.
Yeah, I know. It's the best way to do it, too.
But, that guy pissed me off. And it's like, you know, he's playing a game of poker with me, right?
Right. Sure.
I said, have you heard the name Mel Karmazin? And the guy's, well, yes, I have.
Sure.
Like, oh, bless.
Let's call him right now.
Okay. So I said, let's do it. You got his number? I don't have my Rolodex with me. Let's call him.
But by the time the game started, was your heart rate back to normal by the time the game started?
Yeah, yeah. By the time Kiss came out, I was fine.
Kiss made it all better.
Kiss was fantastic.
Kiss.
Good. That's the name.
And you can put him in any crazy pose you like.
Oh, Kiss was fantastic. They were the highlight. Screw Stevie Wonder. Screw Gloria Estefan. Kiss was fantastic. And the thing I loved best about Kiss was all the people in the stands.
Right.
You know, because, let's face it, at the Super Bowl, you don't have football fans.
Mm-hmm.
You have generally, like, corporate people who are there because they got these tickets, like,
sure,
for some kind of promotion.
A variety of reasons.
Well, there are people in the stands who, like, totally didn't get what was going on because they played Kokomo, that faggy song by the Beach Boys, and they brought out a big fake ocean liner, and then they had all
I saw that on the TV.
Then they have all the girls come out in the poodle skirts, and they like, got paper mache and stuff over their heads, and all of a sudden, they say right from that right into Kiss, yeah, that's the name. You got his name?
I don't know. I didn't see his name. It could be.
I think his name is Jerry, wasn't it?
No, fellas, I urge you seriously to get the guy's name right.
Hold on.
Make sure you get it right, okay? I want some guy. I wasn't even up to it. We mightn't remember the verses.
Who's going to ask the Seahawks?
Mm-hmm.
Who from the organization was at the game yesterday?
Right.
Working in the press area.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I got to put on my grown-up.
What if there's four guys from the Seahawks that are working at the game?
Well, then I'm screwed.
Good afternoon, Seattle Seahawks.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, hi, Seattle Seahawks. This
Hello.
This is the Don and Mike radio show, and we're on the radio right now.
Okay.
One little thing about the Super Bowl. Tell me, I ran into a guy from your organization in the press box yesterday, just the nicest guy, who was a big help to me. Can you tell me, did you have someone from your organization working in the press box yesterday? Is that first name maybe Jerry? Started with the letter J?
You know, actually, I wouldn't know. Can I transfer you to our PR department?
Yes, please do.
Okay, sure. One moment.
Always transfer you to the PR department.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Okay.
Yeah. Snake Jerry Lewis.
Oh. Jerry Gunn, Mike.
Jerry Gunn.
Jerry Springer. Jerry Stiller. Jerry Seinfeld. Tom and Jerry.
Jerry Kuzman.
Public Relations, this is Dave.
Yeah. Hi, Dave. This is the Don and Mike radio show. How you doing? We're on the radio right now and doing a national radio show. I was at the Super Bowl yesterday, and I ran into a guy who works for the Seattle Seahawks. He was in the press area, and I know on his name tag it said name, and then underneath said Seattle Seahawks. And I think his first name may have started with the letter J. Would you happen to know who that might have been?
No.
Did you? Did the Seahawks send anybody to the, anybody from your front office or your PR department go to work the press area at the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Well, without giving out an individual's name on the air, would you have someone in that capacity whose first name starts with the letter J?
No.
Really? I ran into a guy, kind of an older guy, gray hair.
No.
Earpiece. I mean, not an earpiece because like it was hard of hearing.
Earpiece?
No, earpiece like one of those Secret Service deals yesterday.
Did he have a hairpiece?
No, I think it was his real hair.
Nope.
Really?
Yeah.
Seems to be contagious.
Well, I'm going to find him.
I wish you all the best.
I want to tell you right now, that guy was a big dick to me, and I'm going to find that guy. Let me see. He's not the public relations director. No, he'd have to be a... He wouldn't be a muckety-muck like in PR. He'd have to be higher up on the food chain.
The higher-level guy?
Yeah. Probably not. Yeah, Charlie?
No, he could be the PR director because there was another guy just as friendly who I spoke to after you left, and he was right up there, and he was the PR director from another.
Oh, well, who's your PR director, please?
I'm the PR director.
Oh, really? Were you at the Super Bowl yesterday?
No, unfortunately, I wasn't.
Oh, bummer.
You got an old guy that's like working underneath you?
No.
Could they give him like names, just like generic NFL names?
You mean just make them up as they go along?
No. This guy had a real name and it said Seattle Seahawks.
No, it's not about the Seattle Seahawks name. Would they do that? Would they just like throw the name tag on that they had or what? Would he really be with the Seahawks? I mean, how does that work?
I would assume if it said Seattle Seahawks that it was an employee of the Seahawks, but we have nobody there that.
Like it was that guy, really?
Starts with a J.
Starts with a J. Yeah, didn't it start with a J?
I didn't see it.
Oh, come on.
I didn't.
Come on, Inspector Gadget. You see everything.
I see his tag.
Well, listen, I know you're hiding that guy right now. And I want you to tell him
right
that me, the guy that was wearing the Falcons jersey yesterday, You tell him that I'm calling Mel. Okay? He'll know what that means. You just give the old guy the message, I'm calling Mel.
Mel.
Mel. Mel. Mel.
Can you spell that?
Yeah. F U. Okay? Because I'm going to find this guy. I'm going to make some calls off the air. I'm going to find out who this guy is.
All right, guys.
Okay. Hey, good winning attitude you got going in the Seattle Seahawks. No wonder you guys haven't been to the playoffs in how many years has it been? 10 years?
I think that's right. It has been 10 years.
Yeah, 10 big years.
So we're going to turn that around now.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
Winning. Holmgren's our head coach.
Winning attitude.
The right direction.
Right, absolutely. All right, well, this guy that I saw yesterday, let me just explain to you why I'm hot about this. I got credentials. I'm at the Super Bowl. I'm in the press section with my son, who has credentials. And this guy from the Seattle Seahawks came up and booted us out because we had on Atlanta Falcons jerseys. Told me that I wasn't dressed like a regular member of the press. And I dropped the name of the guy who's the president of CBS, who we work for.
Mm-hmm.
That's Mel.
And he was mean.
Not Mel. Mel's sweet.
No, but the guy was mean to you.
Yeah, but this guy was just a huge dick. And I got a national radio show, and today is when the payback happens. Yesterday, he thought he could toss me out and embarrass me in front of my son. But today, I'm going to find him.
If we can get him.
Now, but you're sure somebody that worked for the Seahawks?
Yes, that I'm absolutely positive.
That's what the name tag said.
Now, I got a guy on the phone who says there are representatives from each city at NFL security. So maybe that's where I should be looking. Hold on a second there. Hey, is this Mike?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, how do you know about this, Mike?
Just take my word for it. I know about it. So what? Each city has a representative from NFL security that does certain things for the owners and for the teams. And this guy, gray-haired, sound like it could be a representative who was out there working security at one of the little checkpoints they might have had that may be the Seattle Seahawk rep for NFL security or is working for the Seattle Seahawks. Rep for NFL security.
Oh, thank you.
So you may want to try NFL security based out of New York City.
New York City! Okay, I'll give that a try.
You might, it sounds like that could be it.
Huh. Are you the guy in Seattle?
Uh-huh.
Would you have any idea who that guy would be with your team?
Well, our director of security's name is Hal.
So Hal, no, this guy's...
J-Theory.
Right. Yeah, J-Theory. Okay. All right, well, thank you for your time, and Mike, thank you for calling.
All right, bud. Have a good day. Good luck.
I'm find this guy, yeah. Good luck, Seahawks. It's all raining, I guess.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, hold on. Here's a guy from Tampa who says he was escorted out of the press area also. Well, how can that be? Anybody can get a credential. And how did you get in the press area?
There to do audio work.
There to do audio work?
Yeah, at the old Tampa Stadium.
Why'd they escort you out?
For cheering on the local team.
What's the local team? Tampa didn't have a team.
Buccaneers. Oh, I'm with you. Okay.
What? What?
That's pretty...
Yeah, gee, I know. I just guessed why he was escorted out.
Oh.
For not making sense?
Yeah.
Now, come on. Were you really in the press section?
Yeah. Down on the field, did audio stuff, and really wasn't busy at the time. You know, if the stuff doesn't break down.
Oh, I don't care about that. I just hung up on that guy.
Rooting for the local team.
What, the Dolphins? I don't care about that. You're on the field. You're like
this problem.
You're on the field. You're a million steps ahead of me, man. I'm way up in the nosebleed section in the press area.
Well, like I said, I'm doing audio, and he's going to walk man on.
Just trying to impress my son by going, look, hey, free clipboard.
Yeah.
Look at his seat cushion. Look, ooh, free sandwich.
Did you get to keep your clipboard and seat cushion?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. All right.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, we sold the free stuff.
The free stuff.
Yeah, you bet we did.
Free stuff. At the end of the game, at the end of the telecast, that guy, was it Bill Moss? Is that the guy that's the sideline reporter?
Oh, the guy with a big neck for Fox.
This guy's real intense.
Yeah.
They just handed out the T-shirts for the champions, Super Bowl champions, and the hats. Madden goes nuts. And he says, I'll bring this up to you. And Summerall says, no, you don't need that. And John Madden's like, what are you talking about? Of course we did. I'd never turn down a freebie if it's food or something you could wear. And you know it's true, too.
The thing I wanted yesterday, and I found out that they destroyed them immediately, was I wanted to bring everybody back hats and shirts that said World Champion Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, really? They had those?
Well, of course.
Well, they have to have them standing
They
by.
Don't know which team is going to win or lose, and before I was unceremoniously booted out of the press area,
right.
I was talking to a guy from the stadium who said downstairs that they had like 500 T-shirts and 500 hats, mm-hmm. and as soon as it became apparent that one of the teams or the other was going to lose, that they burn all of them.
That's cool, yeah, because otherwise it's this, you know, collectible. You know there got to be guys down there, too, that just say, here, put that in your pocket. Put it in your pocket right now.
Oh, I'd love one of those. So, you know, and the game kind of sucked.
Yeah, it was a sucky game. Back into that kind of Super Bowl tradition of mediocre games.
Yeah. Nice game, Chris Chandler. Yeah. But I'm glad we backed the Broncos, Mike.
We did, Don. We backed the Broncos.
Oh, and the last thing I should tell you. Remember I was going to get Rob Spiewak one of those big plastic horses head like Shannon Styrofoam
horses head.
Yeah. You know, did you see how much those were?
How much were they?
$50 each.
Oh, and worth every penny. Cost them like -2 cents to make.
Right. That's why Rob ended up not getting that big horses head the whole time we were down at the Super Bowl.
Well, it didn't matter. He was able to eat an ostrich meatloaf with garlic mashed potatoes. So he's a happy man.
You had ostrich meatloaf?
Yeah.
When was that? When you were on the boat?
No.
Can I tell you that Rob and Matt Elliott had their shirts off when they were out on a boat on Saturday.
Well, the ostrich meatloaf and the garlic mashed potatoes, he ate off of Matt Elliott's stomach.
On the boat. No, that was the taste of the NFL.
It was all bad.
Oh, look at Inspector Broyle. He's got out the Seattle Seahawks 1998 media guide.
Oh, good.
And look at this. They have a picture of everybody that works on the front office staff.
Sure.
He wants me to do like a light-up check now during a commercial set. I'll tell you real fast when I see the guy. Now there's the guy that says security. And the guy from the Seahawks was not lying. The security guy's name is Hal Colgren.
And it's not him.
No, it's not him.
Hal. Not him.
Not Jerry.
Maybe
no.
Your guy's out of New York after all, maybe.
Not him. Don't see his picture.
There he is, the big picture on the right, the full-page picture.
Well, that's Dennis Harrison.
Oh, yes, former coach.
I said it was the coach of the team.
Oh, he has gray hair. Yeah, look like the kind of guy running an attitude. Put that on.
So you're on a boat with Matt Elliott, huh?
Yeah, it was gorgeous. It was myself and Matt and that woman that Matt uses to make me jealous. And the mouse and a few other couples. It was great. There was food and amazingly something to drink.
That's great. And the ostrich meatloaf was delicious.
That was at the taste of the NFL. That was something quite different.
And at what point did you and Matt decide to take your shirts off?
Oh, it was a lovely sunny day. And we weren't the only one with our shirt off. Cecil took his shirt off, too.
Who is Cecil?
Rudy's friend Cecil. You
just
know,
a little tip from me to you, perhaps, in the next couple of weeks. Maybe a full physical for you.
Good night.
After your too much weekend.
Look who's talking. Hey, you might want to make that a dual appointment, boys.
That's right. Yes, our livers are both swelling.
Okay, hold on. We'll be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show. Sports 1140.
We just came down here to get you away from that radio.
I say, honey, this causes nothing but trouble.
Well, don't worry. I'm just trying to get some music so I can relax. Will you listen to that?
Don and Mike's cash call mania is sweeping the nation.
This could be you.
How much money is in the cash call jackpot?
106.
Oh, my God, I won!
How about $212?
Yeah!
Hey, right on.
Right on!
That's fantastic. Thank you, gentlemen.
More this.
106.
Whoa!
Yay!
We did it. Two winners today.
Yeah!
Good for the month.
Or even this.
$212.
Oh.
Yay!
There you go.
All right.
Yeah. More.
It's free money from the cash call jackpot, and it's only on the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Dad, I got a new record today. Is it okay if I play it on the phonograph?
Well, of course it is. I think it's very nice for a young boy to be interested in music.
God damn it.
Yep.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right, now, I think we're all done talking about the week. At least folks, it took us 2 hours to get done talking about our weekend.
Very busy.
Now we're ready to take your calls.
Excellent.
Including calls from any rioters in Denver.
Yes. We'd like to hear about
how
a town goes mad.
Right, and Denver. I mean, you don't picture that from Denver, right? Kind of a
mellow,
artsy, fartsy, you know, hippie-like town, man.
Very mellow.
You know, they love their Broncos.
Let's turn that car over.
And I guess what it was, that one of the newspapers had an early edition last night.
Right.
With a headline that said, like, the Broncos were the Super Bowl.
Right.
And that's what the idiot fans started the bonfire with downtown, was hundreds of copies of this early edition of this newspaper.
So the Falcons or the Broncos?
Broncos, what did I say?
No, because, I mean, why would they want to start a bonfire with that?
Because they're idiot fans. That's what I want to know.
It's crazy. They've been drinking.
I mean, if it said it was like an early edition that had a misprint at the end of the Falcons, then it'd be like, burn it, man!
No,
it was an early edition that came out
right
Sunday evening
mm-hmm.
that said, Falcons win, because the paper normally doesn't come out till Monday morning.
Oh, okay.
They put out a special edition Sunday night, and the fans took all these copies of the newspaper and set them on fire.
Probably want to save them.
They were full of liquor.
Maybe. They weren't thinking straight.
All right, hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Yeah, this is Brian calling from Sacramento.
Oh, you're not one of the rioters from Denver.
No, heck no.
They're all in the Who's Cow right
but
now.
I'm trying to find out. Maybe you can help me out. I'm trying to see if this publisher's clearinghouse. You know, they're supposed to announce, get the winner during the
match. Oh, did you see that? I happened to catch that last night. We got back to the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
you know, I saw a piece on how they do that one time, that it's like a major production when they make those those live knock-on-your-door visits.
Yeah, that they but he didn't show up.
They funnel the people around, and they try to make sure they get somebody. They went to this lady's house, and it was like a Don and Mike contest. I swear to God. Here's the payoff. The guy goes, okay, it's 10:13 a.m. We've not been able to find anybody at home yet. Woman opens the door and he goes, hey, this is Joe Blow from Publishers Clearing. You've just won $10 million. And here's what the woman says. Oh, my God.
No enthusiasm whatsoever.
That's the level. And then that's all she said. Oh, my God. Now, there was this fat girl next to her that was screaming. Right? The woman that actually won the money.
Totally unflappable.
Deadpan.
Like, I hate that. Oh, my God.
You don't want to see people like that one. You want to see the people go, oh, yeah.
$10 million. You know what I do? I open a vein for you.
Oh, absolutely. I take my clothes off.
$10 million. You got my blood spewing out like when Dan Aykroyd pretended he was Julia Child and he would cut himself.
Look at this. I'm mutilating myself. I'm so happy. Here, have a pair.
So, yeah, that was the answer is they did finally get a winner, but they said in the commercial that they still had like another $20 million bucks to give away.
Are they going
to
have any other big live event on TV that they're going to wait for, or are they going to like do it, record it like they do? With that guy that just can't get enough, that gray-haired guy that can't get enough camera time.
Right.
Yeah, just listen, even on the commercials, you'll see him, he'll say something and then turn to the camera. Look at my face.
You're here in New Jersey. I'm trying to Sandy Skank's house.
All right, thank you.
Take care. Keep on rocking.
Right on, man.
Right on.
Rocking at the speed of light. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Bobby.
Dad, did you happen to catch week? Obviously, one day I was watching the game, but you were at the game. But did you see, Pat, somehow was acting like something was wrong. He was obviously not watching the same game I was watching.
Is this Boomhauer?
Huh?
Is this Boomhauer from Hank Hill?
No.
www.com.
That's only man. You're going to get rid of signing. Go click, click, click. Pat Summerall will be Super Bowl. You know, big old kiss. And I'm going to be allowed to share the national anthem, I think.
Oh, and share. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Sharing the national anthem?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to sing the national anthem and make up like your own music? Answer, yes, because she was not singing, can you see?
She Cherized it.
Oh, say.
And then at the end, you know,
with
the
home
brave.
Of, home of the brave.
The brave.
The brave.
She Cherized it.
Oh, Christ, it was a mess.
I didn't like the outfit either. I mean, the jeans with the spangly top.
After all that, please, a national plea for some kind of gown that would be appropriate for her to wear to sing the national anthem. She wears jeans.
In the
stadium, on the video screen, before she came out,
they
had an interview with her.
Mm-hmm.
What a pretentious bitch she is. Here's what she has to say.
Uh-huh.
They're interviewing Cher, okay? She has her hair like the color of cranberry juice.
Right, all streaked and stuff.
Lipstick that matches. And she goes, well, you know, I never thought much about the song until I was offered this chance. And I read the words and I realized these are really important words. I never thought much of it as a song. And I swear to God, as she's doing this, people around the stadium start going, boo!
Boo! Son and I, way back when...
What's her name? Tori Spelling got a bigger round of applause. Tori Spelling was the in-studio host.
Oh, really?
In the stadium where she'd go, hi, this is Tori Spelling from Fox's 90210. Welcome to Super Bowl 33.
Was she showing any skin?
Oh, she's totally naked, Mike.
There you go.
Totally naked. No, she wasn't naked. She got a nice big round of applause. But when Cher started up this stuff with like, I never even thought about the Star Spangled Banner.
Boom.
Until... they asked her to sing it, and then she had to analyze it, and then she realized, hey, groovy song, man.
I decided to take the song and make it my own.
And the home of the brave,
the brave,
the brave.
What a goof. Way to go, Cher. What a goof.
I don't know. This guy is, what, you're talking about Pat Summerall?
Yeah, that one play, I think it was when he threw a deep down, I think it was Hebron or Griffith, and threw the flag. They threw the flag. He goes, yes, roughing the passer. The man's like, no, it was holding. Then they showed the replay, and it was clearly holding it. And,
yeah, that big old Summerall mad. He don't see him on the Simpsons.
Hello, Dynamite Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Rudy Marquis talked up the Pat Summerall tonight.
Yes, he made it all. Really? You know, if you'll notice, you read Rudy long enough, you'll see everything always balances out.
Remember now, last week, Rudy really reamed Pat Summerall.
Oh, and on the show, he basically torpedoed him.
Uh-huh. A superb night by Fox's John Madden, with partner Pat Summerall turning in his best performance of the season.
Somebody bumped into somebody at a cocktail party.
Fox's duo was as dominant as the Broncos.
Wow.
And the grade that Rudy gave the Fox broadcast, mm-hmm. Enterprise,
an A-minus.
The same thing he gives to every single TV show.
It's amazing that column's in the paper today.
A-minus. Hello.
It is, isn't it?
Really is.
Hello, that column came from a bottle.
That column came from a guy waddling up South Beach.
That's a message in a bottle. We'll meet you at the Clevelander. They don't serve lunch at the Avalon.
Another ace. Mouse, let's find someplace dark and air-conditioned.
Now, listen. I told Don and Mike the Avalon, but the Avalon doesn't exist. So that way we don't have to socialize with them.
They will be walking around for hours.
Yeah, like an evil plan. Rudy likes to hang with us. Now there he is. But he gets his friends, you know. His friend du jour. His friend from Atlanta, right?
The friend of the month, the guy with the beard, the skinny-looking guy, the Abraham Lincoln-looking guy.
Friend of the month, that's exactly. He has his friend. It's the Rudy Marchke Friend of the Month Club.
Hello, Don, on my show.
Come on. How you doing, Don?
Hey, buddy. Hey, what the hell is that?
Denver?
What is that, a Oompa Loompa?
Are you in the middle of the riot in Denver?
Hello, is this a guy calling? Are they rioting right now in Denver?
Something seemed to have happened. We were speaking with him. I hear something in the background.
Hello?
All right, we're taking another call.
I don't have that guy. That was a guy from Denver.
Oh, they got tear gas.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Don.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, I was wondering, this is more for Mike and Buzz. I was watching the game, and it was, I guess, just before the fourth quarter. Did it look like one of the Atlanta Falcons was, like, peeing underneath the cup table?
I didn't see that.
No. The only thing I remember is they missed a play. They missed the big, long pass play where they came back too late from commercials, and either we were looking at a piece of videotape or they just got it in time.
Oh, you mean the big, long pass?
Yeah, when we came back, he said, John Elway, I mean, was that on tape?
No, that was live, and they did just get back barely in time.
They were still,
certainly didn't get enough commercials.
The play was in progress, but they went to their commercial break 3 seconds later than they were supposed to, so the play had already started when they came back. Of the reviews that I read of the Super Bowl coverage, actually, Summerall got high marks from several columnists for saving that moment when Fox nearly
missed
that big play. Now that I think of it, wasn't tape. He really did, because, bam, he called it, and the ball was in the air, practically,
yes,
when they came back from commercials. And you know that Jerry Seinfeld commercial that they made such a big deal?
You know what Keith Hernandez
could not have sucked enough. I mean, robo-sucked.
Oh, really?
Absolutely a non-event. Absolutely a non-event, mm-hmm. but a suck-fest tribute to Jerry.
Right.
But as far as any funny moment within any part of the commercial...
Let's cancel our American Express card.
Yeah!
Let's do it now. Come on, let's do it. It's kind of a protest.
And let's light them on fire.
Yeah!
And then we'll get maced.
After we run through the fire. And that's the thing about the riot in Denver that I didn't understand.
Right.
I mean, I can kind of understand people making a big fire and, like, tipping cars over. I don't condone it, but I know people do that.
Right.
But people were running through the middle of the bonfire.
Look, my sneakers are melted.
Right. Right. Hello, Donald Mike Show.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hey, did you see Chris Chandler's interview after the game?
No, I didn't see that. No.
Well, Ron Pitt, he interviewed him after the game, and he brought up something about Shannon Sharp. And after he answered, Chris Chandler, you flick someone off kind of discreetly, rub your eye with your middle finger.
Oh, you know what? Somebody told me this, that it looked like Chris Chandler was, like he did this thing, like he gave him, like, the finger. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, he rubbed his eye with his middle finger, and then Ron Pitts cut away.
So did it look like he was really doing it to say F you?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Hello. Well, the guy had an awful game.
I always love that, Mark, that move, you know, that move where you're doing it. Yeah, I agree with you. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Hello, Don, Mike Show.
Hi, guys. Hey, Don, you called Cher months ago. You called it on her. She is planning now to hang out with Dodi Fayed's father in the Mediterranean looking for a new source of money.
Is she really doing that or what?
Yeah, it was on the E! Entertainment news. She's going
to... Oh. And then she's going to pay for him to go skiing.
She's going to cruise on a ship in the Mediterranean.
Pray that he hits a tree.
Yep. Cher has decided it's just too much work to, you know, and she doesn't have enough talent to actually do the career thing anymore, so she's going to, you know, find an old millionaire.
And that's the other thing. It was maddening at the stadium yesterday that the only song they kept playing on the sound system was that Cher disco song that they're hit right now.
Oh, no.
Oh, they played her video over and over on the big screen.
Boom!
I am the home of the brave. Yep. The brave. The brave. Hey, Dodi Fayed, hello. Here's some Percocet and snow skis.
I want to go snorkeling again. Take these extra weights with you.
I love you.
You are so much fun.
Hello, Don.
Yes, sir. It's an honor to speak to you.
It's an honor to speak to you, sir.
I agree with 99.9% of everything you say.
All right, like hearing that.
Is that all? That's all I got to say.
All right.
Thank you. Good finish.
Hello, Don, on my show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, turn your radio down.
The guy called about the guy peeing under the Gatorade.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you guys didn't catch that?
I didn't see it, no.
No, talk to Rudy, man. It was unbelievable. The guy had his hands like he couldn't have been doing anything else.
It wasn't a football player, was it?
Yeah, it was for the Ravens.
The Ravens. The Ravens weren't in the game.
For the Falcons, the guy was
the Ravens.
The tablecloths.
Yeah, I know. I don't like to nitpick, but when you're trying to make a big point about a guy peeing underneath a Gatorade table, and then you say Ravens, they're just credibility. Credibility is damaged.
Okay, you gotta talk to Rudy.
Maybe I'm the only one. Anybody see Dan Reeves pull down his pants and take that number two on the sidelines?
It was late in the game, wasn't it?
Am I the only guy that saw that?
It was right after a really bad call.
Damn.
And he pointed at the officials, and the pants came down, and
and he squatted it out.
Yeah, it was bad, very bad.
Hello. Hello, Don, on my show.
Oh, yeah, there he is, Coach Reeves.
Charlie Royal just put up on the screen that over 50 people have called already today before we even started taking calls to say that they all saw a guy peeing on the sideline.
Yeah, I am sorry I missed that. I must have been getting a second helping of chili.
Hello, Don, on my show.
I'm Mike. One word, Victoria's Secret.
Oh, great commercial. Yeah. Great commercial. You know, they were doing their ad for their...
Anybody see Terrell Davis masturbating in the fourth corner? Oh, I saw it. It's fantastic.
The Victoria's Secret ad, which they have, and at that particular moment, I had some people over the house, and I think there were three or four of us guys. Well, I was there with my father-in-law, which is at a moment where, you know, you don't want to just go totally crazy, and it was the Victoria's Secret ad that came on, and you could tell everybody didn't want to react to it, at least the men that were... It was my brother-in-law, me and my father-in-law, and then two other guys that were husbands of friends of my wife. There's not the familiarity.
Very tough room.
Very tough room. Very tough room. And I didn't want to, normally you go, whoa! Look at the rack on her!
Look at those teeth, the way that you and I act when we see the Victoria's Secrets commercial.
Fantastic! Can't wait to get on that website.
My wife walked in at that one moment and said, what are you watching? I went, get out!
Yeah, it was pretty intense. They sold it, to say the least.
Hello, Dynamite.
Dynamite.
Yeah.
No, he was not pissing under the table. He was pissing in the cup. Gatorade looks just like piss.
All right, come on. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, I saw on ESPN today that the guy that was under the table actually was Eugene Robinson. And they said he was going to the bathroom.
Yeah, right, because there's no better way to repair your reputation.
Yeah, right, exactly.
After you're caught soliciting a prostitute than to take a pee on national TV.
Well, it was absolutely amazing. His hands were underneath the table, and he was actually...
Okay, all right. Hello, Donna, my show.
Yes, this is Jean Cooper from the Young and the West is calling.
What?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, and I do not appreciate it being lumped in with all the unattractive women at the Super Bowl.
What are you talking? Are you trying to be Corbin Burnson's mother?
I am Corbin Burnson's mother.
Have you ever heard that woman speak?
That woman has a voice like this. Hello, son. I'm very happy for you.
Corbin.
This is the way I talk, and I'm sorry if you don't like it. And also, I have had facial rejuvenation.
Hello, Donald Mike Show.
Yes, this is Corbin Burnson's father.
And I want you boys to stop picking on my wife.
That's the guy that made it up like on the fly.
Right, he just heard that lady call in
and
just decided to say that.
Yeah, good call.
She was trying to ad lib. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don Mike.
Yeah, buddy.
I called to play the ice cube game.
Okay.
It's a man that wants to,
man, David.
Yeah, I want to talk about the guy.
What guy? You're on the air. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, the guy, he was, looked like he was using the bathroom under the table.
Where are the rioters from Denver? I don't want to talk about a guy taking a pee on the side. I want to talk to one of the people that went crazy in Denver.
Oh, but that was better watching the guy pee.
He really, I guess I picked the wrong moment to walk out of the room.
How come it like hasn't been reported anywhere?
Nowhere to be found.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, buddy.
Thank you for coming to Lowe's. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
No, that's
the show.
No.
The show.
Sorry, sir. No, that's
fine. See, he's just trying to do a share thing over there.
Right, yeah, but that's not how it goes.
And the home of the brave. The brave. The brave. All right, Buzz. Take it away. Thank you for coming to Lowe's. Back and relax. Enjoy the show.
Oh, he's getting better every day.
All right, request-o-matic.
Request-o-matic?
One time, real fast. Sing it like Cher.
Oh, see, I don't know if I have.
Come on, give it a try.
Thank you for coming.
Well, hold on. Wait for it to reach you.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
A little bit, really, Cher.
Ready as I'm going to be.
Okay, here we go. All right, Buzz Burbank as Cher.
Thank you for coming to Lowe's. Sit back and relax. Enjoy the show.
That's as close as I you're going to get.
You put a fine effort forward.
You see his
face when he was doing it?
Next year, the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Brave.
Okay, with me.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And I got to tell you, the other funny thing in the Super Bowl, and I know y'all saw it. You watch the halftime show?
Right.
I crack up when Stevie Wonder's driving a car.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, you get it? Stevie Wonder driving a car. I said to this guy sitting next to me. The guy kind of looked like, you know Eddie Murphy, the Nutty Professor, when he was the fat guy?
Sherman.
Uh-huh.
Sherman Clump or whatever.
Sherman Clump? All right, I got a big fat black guy sitting next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And Stevie Wonder comes out driving that car. And I said to nobody in particular, I said, that's the funniest damn thing I ever saw. How does Stevie Wonder know how to drive? This guy. Now, maybe it helped because he had about 80 beers. But that was it for this guy. He was telling everybody in the section. He
goes, right.
This man said, Steve is driving a car. Steve, not Stevie, not little Steve.
Right.
Steve.
One of the better halftime shows I've seen in recent memory. You know, they're going away now from the... Remember when it used to be, let's bring out the 3,000 dancing 8-year-olds along with Up With People and the AP All-American football team.
America.
Yeah. Now they bring out acts, and I like that. I was impressed. And the stage for those acts, that stage weighed 10 tons, and the stagehands had 5 minutes to get it set up. 10 tons in 5 minutes.
That's
and you know, the thing I did like at Stevie Wonder, did you see when he danced at the very end?
Yeah.
When he did the
tap dance. Yeah.
Pretty amazing, you know. I mean, I would say, you know, no matter how much planning goes in, tremendous potential for major disasters.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Yeah, a blind guy tap dancing on live TV. What if he fell off the stage?
I know. This way, Stevie, you were talking about him driving the car. There was one point where he had to go from one part of the stage to another part of the stage, and those of us watching on television at home saw he stopped at one point because he couldn't see and didn't know where it was going. And I'm at home yelling, somebody help this guy.
Yeah, because he was making his way over to the dancing stage.
Eventually, they did.
Mm-hmm. I got a theory on that.
He can see.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You've been able to see the whole time.
Sure.
Making the whole thing.
The whole time.
Hello there. Hey, Don and Mike Show.
Don Mike.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, yeah. Well, there. The best part about the halftime was did you see the TNA show?
TNA show?
Death Barrel 99, Jennifer Lopez versus Dolly Parton on MTV, the Claymation.
On MTV?
Someone had a death match at halftime, another channel.
You
know, sometimes I think there should be more flipping that goes on, but MTV?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
During the Super Bowl?
Thank you for coming to Lowe's.
You mocked me, sir.
Sit back and relax.
I think it's a girl, bud.
Enjoy the show.
Oh, it's a Cher imitator.
Hey, you're a girl, right?
with Yes, I'm a Girl, and I just thought she did the best impression of that, you know, the whatever she sang yesterday was great.
I am the home of the brave, the brave, the brave.
You can sing real pretty.
Thank you very much.
Just in case you
want to. You said it was a real great influence on my life, and now my career is just booming.
And she kind of got that kind of shiner.
Song.
True.
And Chaz and Cesare and Mary Photo.
Not bad.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hi, Donna Mike. This is Sam Huff from Miami.
Hey, I hope you don't mind. I signed for some drinks to your room, Sam.
You looked great on TV yesterday, Sam.
So you're the maggot that did that to me.
Yeah, I'm the maggot.
Maggot.
I'm
the maggot. If he doesn't like it.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey, how fat was Stevie Wonder?
He's not as, I don't think he's any fatter than he has been.
But I didn't. Did you discern that he was fat?
I thought actually he'd actually lost weight compared to...
How would he know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, is there any Steve? Hey, Steve, man.
Hey, but you said earlier.
He
knows.
Oh, yeah, well, he knows.
Of course he knows.
Right, like, drives around all the time, man.
Yeah, but really, let's say he is blind, because I'm playing along and he is blind.
All right.
How's he supposed to know how fat he is, right? Like, he puts the pants on and somebody says, Steve.
That's it, but you put the pants on, you know, if they don't fit.
Mm-hmm. Size 28 waist. Steve goes, hey, I'm looking good. How's he going to know?
Can't see his toes.
And who dresses him? I mean, like,
you asked him that question when we had him on the show one time. You
when he had, like, a shower curtain on when we met him that time.
That's right, he had a little piano key scarf on last night.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello?
I would never try, if I was blind, I would never trust you guys. And Mike's my best friend. I would never trust any of you guys, especially you, to dress me.
It is a beautiful...
I would never trust you.
It's a beautiful three-button suit, and I'd have you in a Barbara Bush dress.
I know you would.
Walking down the middle of the street. Don't tell him.
I would never trust any of you guys.
It looks good. The only reason you can... It's a little... You know, they're in style now. You can actually feel the breeze on your knees. That's how I get them into a dress.
Hello.
Hi. May I sing a song for Mr. Buzz?
Sure.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes, sir.
This is Mario.
Mario.
Listen, I have my own version of the theme.
Hold on. But before you do this, is this the Pilar Bon Jovi guy?
This is Mario Bon Giovanni.
Mario Bon Giovanni.
Different you guy.
Let me sing my song.
I think this is the Pilar guy doing a different voice.
No,
I think so, too.
If not, can I sing, though, please?
You have a song? Is this an erotic song for Buzz?
It's the Lowe's song.
No, Buzz has already had the Lowe's song.
Thank you for coming to Mario's. Sit back and relax, Buzz. Enjoy the blow.
You know, that's like an Italian guy that turned into a Hasid right before our very eyes.
Hello.
Thank you for coming to Lowe's.
Not invited.
Oops. We should turn into a hospital.
Hello, down to my show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to give you a call about this guy that punks you in the press area there. You know, Don, I got to tell you, there's nothing I enjoy more than seeing you get going on somebody. So I could like to request that Mike just throw a Denver Post on that bonfire raging inside you.
Well, listen, very seriously, two things on that. First off, we're finding out the guy. Hold on a second.
What? Got a number.
You got a number. There it is.
There you go, Charlie Broyhill.
Beautiful.
All right.
Okay. All right. Is that what you want?
I guess you're happy now, sir.
You want some rage?
I'm very happy.
There you go.
Thank you.
Okay.
Where are you calling from?
All right. He's going back. He's going to hang up and listen.
All right.
What's the number for?
NFL Security.
Ooh.
In New York City.
New York City?
I was going to ask if there's a guy named Jerry.
Jerry.
All right.
They dick me around at the Super Bowl, man.
NFL Security.
Yes, hello, Jerry, please.
Jerry, hold on. Hold on just a second.
Jerry,
please. I got to look through my book. All right?
Yes. He's a taller man, grayish hair, kind of an old dude, like maybe in his 60s.
Get his last name.
No, but he had a name tag yesterday that said Seattle Seahawks.
His name is Harry?
Jerry.
Oh, Jerry.
His name is Jerry.
Oh, hold on, Jerry.
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 What are you, stupid? Jerry.
Sorry, you sound very familiar to me. Hold on a second, Jerry.
The name is Jerry, please.
Hold on, I just had to look for the NFL.
And you? You sound...
NFL Security Book.
You sound strangely familiar to me also.
Hold on. Jerry, I don't see Jerry here.
Can I ask who's this, please?
My name is Charlie.
Charlie.
Wait a minute.
Charlie?
Is this Charlie?
Ben!
Charlie!
Ben!
Charlie!
Charlie,
what are you doing? What are you doing working for NFL
Security? I'm like a beautiful security man. I'm just answering the phone. How did you get this number? Who are you going to talk to?
Jerry, how did
That's
you...
That's right. Jerry.
How did you get a job working for the NFL?
I know a friend who knows a guy that knows a man named Paul Tiramisu. Paul Tiramisu.
Oh, Tagliabue.
Yeah. And so he got me a job to work here at the thing to answer the phone. Created by a security guard. I can't believe it, God. I can't believe you called this number.
Charlie, let me tell you what happened.
All right.
Oh, but first let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
How's your thing?
I'm working in the office of NFL Security. Don't talk about my thing. Oh, boy, this is so nice.
Hey, Charlie.
Charlie?
He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of mine. Is he? No. No, I work for him. Okay. Uh-huh. No. I'm sorry.
Yes, Charlie.
I can't talk loud.
Did you see the Victoria's Secret commercial yesterday?
Tom, don't do this. My thing.
Did you see?
No.
Did you see the theme on those girls?
Oh, Tom.
You know the C word, Charlie?
No.
Did you see all those bras? What does a girl put in a bra, Charlie? What does a girl put in a bra?
Breath! Breath! Oh,
dear.
Oh,
dear.
Oh, my God.
No,
hold on.
Okay. All right, hold on. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to a man. I'm on the football team. No. No. All right. I'm sorry. No. My school's, I spilled coffee.
Oh.
On my pants.
It's geesh.
Sorry. Yes. Tom.
You geesh?
Yes, I geesh. You talk about the things that a woman puts in her bra. Well, it always makes me go. Why did you do that to me now?
Charlie?
I'm gonna get fired.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes, Tom.
See Gloria Estefan last night? See that dress she was wearing?
Yeah. It was called the black dress.
The black dress?
And she was fancy, and then she had that word that you all know, the cleavage.
Cleavage?
Oh,
hey, Charlie?
No, don't
talk. Gloria Estefan.
No.
She got some major league yabos, doesn't she?
Geesh!
Oh, geesh. Go again, geesh.
No.
Again with the geesh.
Don't talk sex to me.
All right, Charlie.
You're going to get me fired because Charlie. Every other time it had a lot of sugar in it.
Charlie?
Yes.
All right, listen. I'm looking for a guy named Jerry,
okay,
NFL
okay.
Security.
All right, hold
okay.
on. Jerry Todd?
Hey, hey, Charlie. How about those cheerleaders? Did you see? Did you see one of those shots with the Falcon cheerleaders?
Nope, I didn't.
When she's got those little shorts on that go all the way up to her hiney area. Hiney, Charlie. Her hiney, and you know what's by? You know what's on the other side of her hiney? Her place, Charlie. Her place.
Again.
Let me give you the ultimate. I'm going to give you the ultimate test to see if you'll geesh on anything.
Yeah,
listen, hold on. The last question I ask you.
Okay.
You see that old